This is Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the Ballgame on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket.
What's going on and welcome. We hope it's your favorite Sports Talk radio program. It's Idaho Sports Talk. We are Prater in the Ballgame right here on Sports Radio KTIK, The Ticket. Can I get a hashtag Football Friday? Can I get a hashtag Boise State Basketball Game Night? We got a lot of stuff to get to today, but first and foremost, thank you for making us a part of your day and listening to our program and participating on our Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline and our Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Same number, easy peasy, 208-424-9300. I'm Johnny Ballgame. I got JP in the studio pressing buttons, doing what he's doing. He's got the Ohio State pullover, not a cardigan, but thanks for asking. He's wearing in the studio, Prater. My partner, you, Michael Forrest Prater. What's up, man? I'm coming off a very motivational luncheon today, Prater. This is going to be a good show. What's up?
Ballgame, we spent a lot of time together. We had a breakfast meeting. We've had a lunch meeting. Now we have an afternoon meeting. Are we getting together tonight at 9 o'clock tonight and watch a little basketball?
You know what? Yeah, I mean, I could probably be talked into that, man. Absolutely. I love these late-night tip-offs sometimes, especially when it's on a Friday, dude.
Friday night, 9 o'clock, in your man cave, you and me, Boise State basketball, and Prater and Ballgame debauchery.
Yeah, I love it, man. Good stuff, man. Let's get after it today. We have a Prater, I like this show. I'm not going to lie. Jason Eck. You know, I got a man crush on my new Vandal head coach up there in Moscow. He is in Boise as we speak. There's a big event going on with the VSF, and we have Jason Eck in about 15 minutes on our show. We had a chance to meet and talk with Coach Eck in person today at the Grove Hotel, Prater, and we have that interview that we're going to play to our guests here in a little bit, but if you're a Vandal fan, from what you talked with about Eck today, you got to be a little excited about what's going on up there, eh?
You were certainly excited, although you did behave. I was very proud of you today. I know you wanted to go out there and give the man a big giant bear hug and talk a little Vandals, but you behaved. Although I did notice in the first 10 seconds of our conversation, he threw a ball game out there. So he obviously did his homework, or you resonated with the man. So
sure.
That was pretty fun. That was a pretty good time. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I don't know if this is a ringing endorsement or not, but he kind of reminded me of me. Pretty passionate guy. He's got the sloppy hair. He's got a little bit of a belly. As a matter of fact, at one point, I called us both fat guys, and I think he was offended by that. But he's a big dude. You know, he's a former Wisconsin football player. By the way, we did ask him about Boise State, 1997. He was on that football team and almost got beat by a punter that day. I was in that stadium, and he was on that football team, and we talked about that game where the mighty Boise State Broncos almost beat his team in Camp Randall. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's a good interview. It's a fun interview. His enthusiasm is infectious. It's just slightly more realistic than the typical coach on his first day mission in terms of going out there with the enthusiasm. I think he's got a little bit more substance to it. He speaks a little bit more generalities in terms of, you know, I mean, he promised a winning record this year. I mean, he just didn't. When he says this is a sleeping giant and you ask him about a timeline, he doesn't say coach speak. He said, we're going to win football games this year. That's how important it is. You'll hear what he has to say. Good stuff. And then salute to our good buddy Mark Johnson, who had a luncheon today with the Idaho Broadcasting Foundation. Mr. Gregory, we appreciate your invite out there, and it was a good time. So Mark deserves all this retirement nonsense, and you and I had a chance to go out there and hang with you and I were the young guys in the room, but there's a lot of broadcast legend, a lot of broadcast talent in that room, and I was very inspired today, Ballgame.
Yeah, I love the Mark Johnson retirement mega tour, man. I really do. I think this is longer than Kiss's first retirement tour, right? I mean, we can talk about Motley Crue, JP. How many retirement tours have they had? I love it, man.
Probably a few, yes.
We went out there today, and I got to meet those guys, and I haven't met a lot of them, so it was cool for me. Bob Beeler will join us this hour, live from Fresno, talking Boise State, Fresno State Bulldogs tonight. BJ Raines will join us live from, where's BJ?
Fresno, California. What other news agency, news gathering organization, radio, TV, paper, whatever you want? Who else has got two correspondents in Fresno, California today for tonight's big game, ball game?
That is kind of cool. We have two different people coming on the show live from Fresno, and they're not hanging out.
I was going to say, do you think BJ and Bob hang out, drink cocktails in the hotel bar after the game?
No, I don't think
not
so.
Not happening, is
no,
it?
No, I don't think so. No, but not that neither of them would or would not want to. Just, I think they both go their separate way after the game. You know me. You know 5 o'clock tonight, Prater. I'm juiced for this guest. The newest member of our team.
Yes, sir. He called the other day and wondered where his paycheck was, by the way.
Okay. You tell him.
Dirk Cutter, our NFL playoff correspondent, back for round two. It was supposed to be round three, but we got off to a little hiccup a couple weeks ago. But Dirk Cutter is back, and we're going to keep him next Friday as well, even though there's no game. He doesn't know that yet, but we'll keep him next Friday, and then we'll certainly keep him the week after that, diving into the Super Bowl. So for the next three Fridays, we'll have Dirk Cutter on here and talk a little NFL. We're going to break down the two big games. This is a monster, monster Sunday ball game. We're going to watch that basketball game tonight. We're going to sleep all day Saturday, and then we're going to fire up the football on Sunday for one of the greatest days of the year.
It's hard to believe that the next time we come on the air on Monday, Prater, we're going to jump up, we're going to have fun, and we're going to say, you know, Super Bowl 56, I believe it is, so-and-so versus so-and-so. You know, like, we're going to know that on Monday, who's playing in the next Super Bowl. And then you got the whole, my gosh, is that a marathon up to the game? You get every ounce of coverage for like two full weeks. But we're going to know. It's pretty crazy to think the Super Bowl is that close away from us, man.
By the way, I do know who's going to be in the Super Bowl, and I will reveal those teams in our NFL picks at 4:15.
Okay, thank you. So that's 4:15. Prater will tell you who's in the studio. I love it.
No, in the Super Bowl.
What did I say?
Studio.
No,
you're a little fired up today.
Prater can tell who's in the studio right now.
You and me, baby.
And JP.
Well, he's on the other side of the glass.
That still counts as the studio.
I suppose. As long as we keep him on that side of the glass.
JP, Mark Johnson was talking about you at the luncheon today. He was a little disappointed that you didn't make it.
I know. I should have went. It's just, I've been, like you said, I missed it when he was in studio, too. That was terrible. I have no excuse for not going. I'm sorry, Mark. I'll make it up to you somehow. We'll go golfing sometime.
Yeah.
I think his golf calendar is already loaded up. I'm not sure there's any openings on his golf calendar. And they don't let you on at the country club, JP. So, Mark's a country club kind of guy.
He is.
Yeah, he's not going to golf with JP at the local muni on a mid-Saturday. Prater, pretty interesting news today. Kind of speaking with where we are with the NFL and championship weekend. Jerry Jones, again, local radio, Dallas, again, talking about what?
Little Kellen Moore action. I saw that tweet this morning. It kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah.
It was a guy at the fan. I think, is it the fan or the ticket? The fan?
105.3, the fan.
The fan in Dallas. Put out a tweet and said, guys, you need to listen to our show in 15 minutes. Jerry Jones just called us and said he wants to come on the air.
Yeah.
I was thinking, what would ballgame be like if he got a phone call from Jerry Jones one day and said, ballgame, I just need 15 minutes of your airtime. Can you put us
on
the air?
That'll probably happen at some point. So you're right. I should start prepping for that moment. Thank you, Prater.
I thought that was kind of funny. But so we're all on kind of alert what's going on. We know that there was the vote of confidence with Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn yesterday. The news, Kellen Moore's out there lurking. So I was very convinced that he may come on and say something, and he did, but it wasn't breaking news. But Jerry Jones had a few things to say today.
Yeah, here's a credit. Let's go 103.5, the fan in Dallas, Prater, as you said. This is Jerry Jones on if he thinks Kellen Moore is going to be back in Big D as his offensive coordinator.
Do you get a sense along the process? Do other teams reach out to you and tell you what direction they might be going? Do you believe Kellen Moore will be back with this team next year?
Okay, you asked about three questions.
I did.
And that's all right. I get a sense they do not reach out, and I believe he'll be back next year.
Is that what you want?
Yes.
Wow. That was the answer to three questions? I guess that's the answer that we know. And I don't know if we believe Jerry Jones. To back up, you guys know that Kellen Moore is going to get a second interview, according to reports, with the Miami Dolphins next week. It's not happening this week, so we'll keep an eye on that next week. There's some contenders that are probably ahead of him in that race, but it's the NFL, and nothing would surprise us. And Jerry Jones is out there being all positive. He talked about how they were proactive in keeping Dan Quinn and how he had no business in ever getting rid of Mike McCarthy. He's never really kind of specifically dove into the Kellen Moore thing, although he knows it's lurking out there, and he expects him to be back. But I'm not taking Jerry Jones's word as gospel there. He wants him back. He thinks he's going to be back. He expects him to be back. But Kellen Moore may have something to say about that next week.
You know, you're on a roll today. You know, you're going to pick the Super Bowl 100% accuracy, yes, you say. Yes. Jason Eck reminds you of a young you. And now I'm going to ask you, does Mike McCarthy want to be involved more in the Dallas Cowboy offense moving forward, or is it status quo? Mike McCarthy doesn't touch the offense, specifically the play calling.
I don't think he does. I don't think he does.
Oh, he doesn't. He said that. But do you want? Do you think?
No.
Okay.
I think Kellen Moore did a fine job. I mean, he's still young. Maybe they made mistakes. That last play call at the end of the season certainly wasn't just a Kellen Moore mistake. It was signed off on. It was a learning lesson there in terms of how you conduct your business. I mean, Patrick Mahomes can march, you know, an entire field in 14 seconds. Dak Prescott can't get a quarterback sneak off in 13 or whatever.
Ouch.
I think it was the other way around.
Low blow.
It was a low blow, but it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, yeah, good point.
I don't want Mike McCarthy meddling with Kellen Moore. I think Kellen Moore does a great job doing it as play calling, and it seems like they have a pretty good cohesive teamwork thing there. I think they just need to tighten some things up.
The reason I ask is because Jerry Jones, again earlier on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, JP, he was asked by these guys if Jerry Jones wants Mike McCarthy to kind of get more involved in this offense.
Do you hope that Mike McCarthy, if the team is struggling offensively next year, can step in and help out Kellen Moore in the offense more?
No question that we're going to attempt hard and use everything that Mike has got in his background experience to help us on every part of this football team. And obviously, we didn't get past the first round, and we need to address a lot of areas, and we will. But there are a lot of areas we did some good things in, and we can do some work in those areas too. But Mike's a football coach, and he's got really one of the greatest career records you can look at. And working with him is great. And he's intense, and we've got a big job. And so, to answer your question, heck yeah, he'll be involved in the minutia, or he'll be involved in every way we can to improve any part of our team. And I say that deliberately because he is the head coach, and that's what he do.
That's what he do.
Mike McCarthy's got one of the greatest career records you could ever look at. 1 second. Get off it, man. Oh, Jerry Jones. Anyway, that's the latest from the owner in regards to Kellen Moore. As Prater said, he's a second interview he has lined up, Kellen Moore does, in Miami with the Dolphins. So obviously we'll keep you updated on that. Don't go anywhere. I don't care who your favorite team is. Jason Eck, the new head football coach of the Idaho Vandals, is coming on next. This is an interview we had earlier today, and it's fun. It's fresh, and you don't want to miss it. It's Prater on the Ball Game on Idaho Sports Talk, Sports Radio The Ticket.
Put your Amazon listening device to good use. Enable the Sports Radio The Ticket skill. Then listen to all your favorite shows by saying, Alexa, open Sports Radio The Ticket Boise. Plus, stream us on our app or at KTIK.com.
Rhetorical question, but can you handle a little Tom Petty on a Friday? Yeah, I think we all know the answer. Well done, DJ JP. Prayer, you can handle a little Petty on a Friday. God.
Yeah, love Tom
you
Petty.
See Tom Petty the last time he came to Boise?
With JP.
You guys together hung out once outside this studio?
It's been known to happen, Johnny. It's
I love that. Okay, all right, well... Speaking of love, Prater, our next guest, he's the the current head football coach at the University of Idaho. He's been in Boise. There's the big gala tonight, and he's meeting a lot of players and coaches in this area, just getting himself familiar with Boise. And we talked with him earlier, and we started him off with, obviously, you know, he's getting welcomed a lot around here, and how important it was that he is here and that Vandal football has a presence in Boise.
Ball game, we got to be big in this market. I mean, it's the biggest city in the state, and you look now, how much it's grown. I mean, it's a growing area. There's a ton of Vandals down here. I go into some of the high schools, and people start singing the fight song in the principal's office and stuff. I love it. I love the energy down here, man. So we we got to have a big presence down there. We had two coaches down in the area last week recruiting, and then myself and another assistant has been down here this week. And, you know, we got to be down here a lot. We got to make our presence felt down here.
You know, last time we had you on, you talked about development. You know, you're going to find the kids, you're going to develop them. And, you know, just being a head coach a month or so into this gig, you know, what's been the most surprising, what's been the best aspect of being, you know, head coach Jason Ack?
It's the people. I've enjoyed really getting to know our players. You know, we got a lot of great kids in our program right now who they're hungry. You know, they want to be coached. They want to, you know, be made better. You know, they want to have these coaches invest in them, get them better. You know, getting down here into Boise and visiting with our, you know, boosters, our alumni down here, they're hungry. They're hungry for a winner. They want something to support. They want to, you know, have something they can tell their buddies at the country club when they're having a cocktail about getting the team going. So I just really enjoy the people more than anything. It's been great reconnecting, seeing a lot of people I hadn't seen in 15 years when I was an assistant here. And the reception has been great. The high school coaches have been fantastic in the state when I'm coming to visit with them. And off to a good start. We're excited about the direction we're going.
Talking to the new University of Idaho head football coach, Jason Ack, here in Boise, Idaho, down here for the Vandal Gala later on tonight. Coach, you've been on the job as ball game. And by the way, I appreciate the fact that right off the bat you called him ball game and mentioned cocktails in the same conversation. So we're off to a hell of a good start here. Been on the job for a month. What's the one thing you've learned about this job that you love? And what's the one thing you learned about this job that you got a lot of work to do?
Well, again, it's the passion. It's the passion of the fan base. I think they love Idaho. They want to support a winner. They're proud to be Vandals, and they want something to rally around. You know, I think the biggest challenge is just I've learned as a head coach, there's a lot of other stuff on your plate that you don't have as an assistant coach. You know, you got a lot more external responsibilities. Your phone's ringing more. People want to talk to the head coach a lot more than when I was just an O-line coach. People don't call me that much. But so trying to manage that, manage your time, and you know, do well with all aspects. You know, I think it really forces you to manage your time and kind of, you know, hey, this part of the day is designed for boosters. This part of the day is designed for media. This part of the day is designed for recruiting. This is designed for our current players. And really excited for recruiting to be over off the road and really, you know, get back to Moscow, you know, more full time so we can pour into our current players and get all those guys better through the spring.
Let's dive into the X's and O's of your roster. You've had a month to study this roster. What do you love about this roster right now?
You know, I think we have some really good skill players. You know, offensively, you know, we had a couple receivers with Hatton and Trez Trainer, who are proven guys. You know, have been all Big Sky players. We have pretty good depth at running back. Excited about, you know, quarterback, where you got Caleb Jordan, who started the season last year, and then Zach Borsich, who did a lot of good things coming in there, and, you know, is a threat running the ball as well. You know, I think on the defensive side, you know, corner is really a strong point, which, you know, in our system, we're going to put a little pressure on the corners to stay on top of the routes because we want to get the safeties involved downhill to stop the run game. And, you know, Marcus Harris is a really nice looking prospect who's done a great job. So we have some talent. Big Logan in the O-line has done a good job. We got to keep improving our line of scrimmage. I think that's going to be a big emphasis going forward. I think you win in college football with O-line, D-line, and quarterback play. You can fill in a lot of the other spots if you're good there. So that's, I think, going to be a big emphasis for us going forward, both in recruiting and development.
Again, head football coach, University of Idaho, Jason Ack, hanging out with us, Prater in the ball game here. How important is it going to be to this Jason Ack program to bring some of the band back together? Like, I want to see Mike Iupati with the sideline pass. I want to see if Jerry Kramer can make a special appearance. I want to see John Freeze talking to the team in the team meeting room, talking about advancing in that tournament back in the day. Shiloh Kao, a lot of those dudes are down here in Boise now, Coach.
Yeah.
Is there some type of program you're going to put together where you guys are going to contact those guys and say, hey, if you're coming up to Moscow, let us know. I got a sideline pass for you. We want you to be seen here. That's a big deal to guys like me, man.
I think exactly, ballgame. We got to embrace the past and embrace former players, because usually former players are about the most connected alumni you have. You know, they lived it, they breathed it, they had blood, sweat, and tears involved. So that's something even on the road I've made emphasis on. I was out in Chicago when I got together with John Welsh, who's the quarterback of the 1998 Humanitarian Bowl championship team. And I want those guys to feel comfortable coming back. I think those are guys you'd love anytime they are back to talk to the team. You know, if you got to stop practice for 5 minutes and get some wisdom from a guy who's been there and done great things going forward, I think that's important. One thing we're looking at is like a former Vandal Players Association, kind of a special
group that would be a booster type club that was just for former players, just because they're a little bit more invested. You know, they've done more than the average guy who's just buying season tickets as alum. We want them too, but I think the players deserve a little bit more to be honored for what they did. And some I've talked about is, you know, some reunions too for some of those championship teams. I know some I talked with John about, you know, 2023 would be the 25th anniversary of that 98 team, and it'd be a great opportunity to get all those guys back and really experience it. We're going to embrace it. I've been on the phone with Mike Iupati, a bunch already, and thanking him for his support. I was in the staff. I was involved in recruiting Mike when I was here as an assistant, and we need to embrace all those past players. And again, I think that's one of the things that makes this job so good is the history here. You know, it's been done. I'm not trying to do something that's never been done before, making it a very good FCS program on the national scene in the 80s and 90s. Idaho was just that. So we're just trying to get back to what's been done before, and I think that's easier than necessarily blazing a new trail. There's great tradition in FCS football at Idaho.
One of your favorite phrases since taking over this job was sleeping giant. And I hesitate to put a timeline on it because coaches never put a timeline on it, but how patient can you be in terms of waking up the sleeping giant?
You know, it's a process. I think we're very close to, I think we'd have a winning record next year. I mean, that's the goal, to get it turned around that way. You know, I think there's some things going forward with the playoffs that can be a little tricky. You know, like Division II wins don't count towards the playoffs. Like in the schedule in 2023, we have a Division II game in the playoffs. So you really, the NCAA doesn't view that as a win. So, you know, those are things that may delay it. But I see us in the next few years being competing for playoff bursts, and then it's a process. Even once you get in the playoffs, I think there's a step to get to where you're probably one of the 6-7 teams that are true contenders to win the thing versus the teams that were in there. So it's a process. I think our biggest thing is we got to stay in the moment of keep getting better. We got to get our current players better. As the head coach, I got to keep making our assistants better and helping them develop. And I think if we can stay in the moment and keep doing that, we have a lot of potential here to get this going. And I think tides can change fast if you got everything going in the same direction with all your support staff, your players, your coaches, the boosters, the alumni, and that's what we're trying to do, is just get everything aligned in the same direction.
I like this guy, Prater. He's got his hair slicked back, almost like Michael Douglas, Wall Street, Gordon Gekko thing going on, Coach. I like
that. I tell my coaches this time of year, always be closing. ABC. You got to close some recruits now. Had some great work last night by some assistants in Portland to close some guys out. So we got to keep going that through this weekend.
Yes, lunches for wimps, right? Isn't that what he said? What are your philosophies? I've noticed right now, honestly, the social media presence has been not just bumped up, but it's like on massive amounts of steroids right now, which I think is important for, you know, reaching out not just alums but potential players too, because every kid is on social media. What is the Jason Eck philosophy going to be moving forward with your social media presence with this program, man?
Well, I think it's important, you know, more than ever now with the transfer portal and things. Kids got to have a great experience playing at the University of Idaho. Okay, it's got to be a great experience. They got to feel like we're making them better. They got to feel like we're every day we're investing them and making them better as a player and helping them grow. And I think when you do that, you don't have a lot of morale problems. You know, if guys feel like, hey, these coaches keep making me better, this place is making me better. And part of that is you got to have fun. You know, and again, football, college football is hard. You know, it's a commitment. Yeah. It's a challenge, and that's whether you go to Alabama or you're going to a NAI or D3 school. It's hard. It's an adjustment. So to find the fun and have energy where the kids are excited to come to the building every day and they're not, you know, dreading coming to practice or dreading seeing the coaches, I think that's important. So that's something I really targeted as we built our staff. You know, I wanted guys who have a lot of energy and are going to motivate the kids and have them excited to come to the facility every day.
Coach, let's get weird. Let's figure out who you are a little bit. I think we asked you that last time we had you on Idaho Sports Talk. Just tell us who you are. But here's a specific question. You've had two very powerful people in your life, Coach Alvarez and your wife. Your wife, five kids, five states. She's on the board of directors for Football Coaches' Wives. Which one of those two has had a more impact? Which one is more influential in your life? And be very careful in answering that question.
I would definitely say my wife, because she's stuck by me, and there's been probably a majority of the years I've been coaching, we've been living check to check, as an assistant coach, and I'm happy for her more than anything that now we can, maybe buy a nice house for her and stuff now that I'm a head coach. And it's been, our 20th year anniversary is coming up. And again, a lot of our, I might actually be able to fly her someplace nice for the anniversary, but she's been a great support system, wonderful, mother to our children. I think she's going to flourish in this role. You know, she came out. Our kids are still finishing the school year back in South Dakota. I have a son who's playing high school basketball back there. Didn't want to uproot the family right away in the middle of his season. But my wife came out to Boise and was with some of the boosters last night, and she flourishes in that role doing that. So she's been very influential. I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't have a great supportive wife. I probably would have had to get out of coaching if I didn't have a great supportive wife, because we've had some ups and downs in our careers, just like when I was an assistant here and you know, working for Dennis. Then Dennis leaves and Coach Akey comes in, and Coach Akey has his own staff he wants to bring in. You got to relocate. You need a very supportive wife to go through that. But I think my message to players is you're going to have adversity in your life. You're going to have adversity as a football team, and it's all about how you respond. And I think those moments that I've gone through where we had those trials and tribulations have better prepared me for this moment now to be the leader of the program.
And the final thing, you're in town, the VSF, the Vandal Scholarship Foundation Gala, a pretty big deal for a lot of Vandals in the area.
Yeah, no, it's big to get down here you know, come to the people down here, come to the boosters, come to the alumni. It's our biggest alumni base in the world is right here down in the Treasure Valley. And again, I want to make sure that they have a presence, and I want to make sure that we're engaging with them and they're feeling connected to the program, because really, it's not like pro sports. I mean, college athletics, you're a part of it. You know, when you're donating, you're a booster, you're giving money to the program, I mean, you're invested in every win we have. So we need them. We need everybody down here to be supportive, and I know this is a big big opportunity. So I'm excited tonight to visit with a lot of great boosters and alums, and then I got to get on the plane first flight out in the morning to get back out for some recruits up in Moscow.
Coach, you're in Boise. You obviously know that. We all know the history of Boise and Moscow. So I got to ask you a couple of questions here. I'll put them all together. You can just kind of fire off. First, your emotional reaction when you hear the word Boise. Second of all, do you ever foresee ever wanting to play Boise in football? And number three, do you remember the 1997 game against Boise? Because you were on that football team, and you almost got beat by a punter.
You almost got beat by a punter that year. they played us tough, so I remember all those things. So, you know, again, Boise, I think, is, I think, a blue turf. You know, I think it's synonymous, and again, I think they're a great example of understanding what athletics can do for a whole university. And I think President Green, our president, he really impressed me going through the interview process, because I've had a few three head coaches interviews, and this was the only interview where I went through the initial Zoom and the president was on the very first one. You know, that really showed me his commitment to sports, and I think he gets it. He understands the influence you could have with athletics now that can change the whole university. So that's a thing, I think. And again, I'm excited about the opportunity to play Boise State in the future. I know there's been some conversations between our administration and theirs. You know, we have three Mountain West games on the schedule coming up. We're playing Wyoming, we're playing Nevada, we're playing San Jose State. So if we're going to play a team from the Mountain West, I would love to play a team that's in our home state and bring, you know, hopefully as we keep growing the roster, more players from this area down where they can play in front of their home. So we're excited about that. And that 97 game, yeah, when they came out there, they did a great job. You know, Alvarez had a line after the game. He goes, yeah, I didn't know Boise was such a good road team. And they played our tail off. I know they had a guy come free on a corner blitz, and we had this quarterback, Mike Samuel at Wisconsin, who was a tough sucker but couldn't throw. And it was like on 4th and 10, they brought a corner blitz, and the guy missed. Like he tackled him but didn't wrap up, and then Samuel scrambles for a first down, and we go on and win. And that was probably the first thing I ever knew about Boise State. We played them, but they've done a good job there. And again, it would be a great opportunity to play them for our players in the future. And amazing the run of they've had, even with all the head coaches they've had. Probably 6-7 head coaches in a row they've won with.
Coach Eck, really appreciate the time, man. And can't wait to keep this thing going, Prater. Jason Eck, head football coach, University of Idaho. Thanks, Coach.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
Again, that's Coach Eck. You can share your thoughts on that interview. Vandal fans, you know, how much are you willing to support this program? How much are you buying into Coach Eck right now? Text us 208-424-9300 to the Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Next, let's get to Boise State. How about a former Boise State assistant football coach is out after allegations of recruiting violations? JP, he's on it. We're Idaho Sports Talk, KTIK, The Ticket.
With Sports Radio, The Ticket, we'll never raise your subscription price because we're free. Putting money in your pocket every time you listen. Sports Radio, The Ticket. Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
Bronco Focus and Bob Beeler coming up in just a few minutes, live from Fresno, California, as Bob gets set to call tonight's Boise State Fresno State game. We'll get more details with him. But first, Arizona State offensive coordinator Zach Hill has resigned amid allegations of recruiting violations in the program there. He'll, according to reports, he and his attorney met with the school yesterday. He is one of four assistants on Herm Edwards' staff that are out. According to ESPN, it's all part of the NCAA's investigation involving Arizona State hosting prospects during the recruiting dead period. And if you recall, Zach Hill was the offensive coordinator here at Boise State 2016 to 2019 with Brian Harsin.
Boy, I spent a lot of time with Zach Hill, and I just didn't see this coming, which just goes to prove to you that we just don't know these guys. I don't know if he was doing what he was told. I don't know if he was being a rogue coach. There's very, very, very little details out there. He's the fourth Arizona State coach to lose his job in this recruiting NCAA scandal. So whatever happened to Zach Hill, I'm not sure. There was a point early on in this football season, actually last year's football season, where he was reportedly going to join Brian Harsin at Auburn. Mm-hmm. That never happened. I'm assuming it's because of what was going on behind the scenes with the NCAA. And now Zach Hill will probably never work major college football in the rest of his life. And
you
he's
don't
a young
think
dude.
So? You don't think so? A lot of friends. I mean, if he can at least say, look, I was following orders. A lot of times somebody issues the code red, okay?
That is true.
And it comes from above. And Zach Hill was executing the code red that Herm Edwards said, dude, you need to do.
I mean, the first thing that's going to happen, and I don't know if it's actually happened yet with this case, the NCAA will put a show cause penalty on him where he won't be allowed to have a job for at least 3 to 4 or 3 to 5 years. So he's definitely going to go through that ringer. He's not going to have a job anytime soon. You know, during, 4 to 5 years from now, if he's rehabilitated, according to the NCAA world, and there's somebody out there willing to give him a chance, he could. But a massive blow to Zach Hill's
USFL.
Career. I don't know. I mean, is that real? Is that a thing?
Starts next month.
Yeah, this week.
There's a new league, Prater. Yeah.
People, God, do I have to go through that again this year?
My Houston Gamblers are coming back.
Oh, God. Did you see that they're playing all their games in Mobile down in Alabama? And I believe it's
they
Mobile,
are?
Alabama. Yeah,
every the USFL.
Game. Yes, all in one stadium.
Guys, stop.
Yes.
We've already had the Vandals. We've already had the Vandals on today. Now we're talking USFL. Do we want to lose all of our listeners?
Let's get back to a little Boise State football. How about that?
There you go.
Former Boise State defensive back Kekala Kaniho. It's his weekend to try to shine in front of some scouts and such, as he will play in the postseason All-Star game, the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. That is tomorrow in the Rose Bowl. And if you want to check it out, if you're jonesing for some football tomorrow, it starts at 4 o'clock, and it will be on the NFL Network. He will be wearing number 28 on the American team, which is coached, by the way, Johnny, by Jeff Fisher, who is one of the coaches in the USFL, by the way. Next week, wide receiver Khalil Shakir, he gets to play in the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama.
Nice.
So check it out tomorrow if you want. NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. Finally, don't forget this weekend, we are your exclusive radio home for the NFC and AFC Championship games on Sunday. Chiefs-Bengals starts at noon. We'll have a bunch of pregame leading up to that, followed by the Niners and Rams at 4:30, and of course, we are your exclusive radio home of Super Bowl 56, February 13th.
Chiefs-Bengals, by the way, 1 o'clock, not noon.
Did I say noon? I have it written down as 1.
It is 1 o'clock.
Yep, 1 our coverage PM. On the radio starts at 12:30, I believe.
Yes.
And we're airing both these games.
Correct.
AFC and NFC Championship game on Sunday, so when you guys are out and about, throw that on the dial, Prater.
Nice, love that.
Pick up a series or two or however long. Bob Beeler, Bronco Focus, a live edition. The Bronco Focus from Fresno, California, 9 p.m. tip-off, Boise State, Fresno State. Let's break this game down next with Bob Beeler on Bronco Focus, KTIK The Ticket.
Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. This is Bronco Focus with the voice of Boise State Athletics, Bob Beeler.
All right, let's talk some Boise State basketball. Can they set the all-time school record winning streak tonight with a win in the Save Mart Center against the Fresno State Bulldogs? Bob Beeler, Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Welcome, Bob. You are calling this game tonight, and what concerns you about this game tonight? Welcome, Bob.
Well, this is the first game that Boise State is facing an opponent for the second time. So I always think it's interesting because you have a first game to kind of go back on and see what worked and what didn't work. And I'll tell you, what concerns me tonight is one player, Orlando Robinson, 7-foot center for Fresno State. He had 22 points, 5 rebounds in the first meeting in December. He made 10 out of 17 shots. So He's really good defensively as well. He is the best player on the floor, probably for either team. So he'll be a first-team all-conference player. And he was a second-team all-conference player last year. The Ken Pom statistics rate him as the fourth most efficient player this season. So we're talking about an elite player for Fresno State who had a very good game against Boise State. My question is, can he do better than 22-5? He plays better at home usually than on the road. And trying to defend him, trying to stay out of foul trouble, trying to limit him to me, Johnny, is my biggest concern tonight for Fresno State.
Bob, the Broncos beat the Bulldogs 65-55 in that first meeting. If something is going to be different tonight, it probably will be, Bob. What are some of those things? What might be different this time?
Well, first of all, I think you have to look at venue as the biggest difference. Fresno State's the home team this time. And they're 9-0 this season at home. They beat UC Irvine, was the closest game that they've had, and that was a game in which Robinson was held to 7 points. They also beat Utah State. Now, the rest of the teams they've faced in the Save Mart Center have not been murderer's row. Those are the best two teams that they have beaten. So that's going to be one thing different, that they're playing at home. But the other thing that I think is going to be different is before the last game, I said for a key for Fresno State is I thought they needed a Robin. That Batman Robinson was going to be good, but they needed somebody to be a Robin. The rest of the team against Boise State in the game in December for Fresno State made a total of 15 baskets out of 41. They were 2 for 14 from three-point range, but their second leading scorer, Anthony Holland, did not play. He just got 22 last game against New Mexico on the road for a career high. This season, he's been in double figures 8 times. When he gets to double figures, Fresno State is 7-1. So he is supposed to play tonight. He missed the game last time. I would say that that might be a difference, make it a little bit more difficult for Boise State to beat Fresno.
That voice you hear is Bob Beeler, the voice of Boise State Athletics, getting you ready for tonight's Boise State at Fresno State game. You can hear it on our sister station, KBOI, at 9 o'clock tonight. It's a late one, Bob. Johnny just talked about the last time Boise State and Fresno State played a 10-point Boise State victory. Who played well for the Broncos that night?
Well, Boise State on the offensive, I guess to answer your basic question, everybody played pretty well. It was a good group effort to beat Fresno State. But offensively, they got their points from their guards. Shaver had 18, made 7 of 12 shots, 4 out of 7 from three-point range. It appears everything's a go for him tonight. He played all 20 minutes after hurting his ankle in the first half last week. Emmanuel Acott had 12 points to be Boise State's second leading scorer. So they combined for 30 of Boise State's 65. He made 5 of 9. That probably shouldn't be a surprise with Robinson inside guarding the bigger guys down low, that the outside guys had, I don't want to say free reign, but had good games. You look at some of the numbers from the forwards. Armouche had 12, which is better than his average. So he had a good game against Robinson, but Keyjab and Dagenhart each only had 6. So we'll see if Boise State gets their points from the guards. That's how they did it in the first game.
All right, Bob, we know that this is a big game. At the end of the result, it doesn't really matter when it comes down to late February and March, but there's the winning streak on the line, a lot of other things on the line, momentum on the line. How do you see how big this game is?
Well, I think it's big because you can keep yourself separated at the top of the standings.
Oh.
Last week, Boise State beat San Diego State. Colorado State, team right behind Boise State, a game back at 6-1. Boise State still has to face them twice, did not win at San Diego State. So when you compare what one team was able to do on the same trip that the other one did, Boise State gets a plus there over Colorado State. You have Wyoming at 4-1, Fresno State sitting in fourth place at 4-2. A win tonight gives you a sweep over Fresno State. So that would really put you 4 games in front of the Bulldogs, because you'd be ahead 3 in the loss column, and then because of the tiebreaker, you'd really be ahead by 4. So, I mean, not that, you know, that you want to win all your games. I mean, that's obvious, but I think the longer you can keep separation between yourself and the next couple of teams in the league, that's good, because I think the Mountain West regular season winner will get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament.
Bob Beeler, Bronco Focus, 9 p.m. tip-off tonight. Bob, your coverage starting at 8:30. What do you want to see tonight? Obviously, you want to win, Beeler. You want this win streak to keep going, but what boxes do you want checked?
Well, I would be surprised if either team got over 70, because both teams have only allowed 70 or more twice each. So I think we're going to see a fairly low-scoring game. Robinson had a little bit more than his average. I don't think you can let him get more than that, and certainly not being as efficient. I think you need to slow Holland down, make him work for things on your defensive end, and then I think you're going to have to find a way to get three guys in double figures tonight to beat him. Those would be what I want to see most.
Bob, I don't know if you've seen anything. I'm kind of throwing you a little bit of a curveball here, but I just keep thinking of the glory days of Fresno State basketball. I know they've worked really hard to get that back. Any kind of community buzz? Do we expect any kind of a crowd? Do they still curtain off the top? What's been your most recent experiences in the Save Mart Center and the passion around Fresno State basketball?
Well, 2 years ago when we came, they did not have much of a crowd. And you're right, they did curtain off the top. I can tell you they have not curtained off the top tonight because the radio broadcasters and the TV broadcasters are at the top of the upper level. So in order for us to see, to broadcast them up there, the curtains are open. Now, whether they're going to put fans up there, I do not know that. I think people are probably going to be excited for this game. If they're going to be excited, they've won all nine of their home games and, you know, they're playing pretty well. And Boise State right now is the top of the league, but it's a big place, Prater. And it just seems like when you go to Utah State and you go to San Diego State, you know, there is a buzz, you know, just a feel like, you know, we've got a game going tonight. It's such a big place. I've never felt that buzz, here at the Save Mart Center. I remember growing up in Stockton when they were in the Big West. Boyd Grant was the coach, and they had more people come up to Stockton than Pacific would have a lot of times for home games. So the passion for Fresno State basketball, probably not there as much as it has been in the past.
Yeah, the official at Mountain West at stats, Fresno State's 3,677 fans. That's what the average. Boise State's pushing 6,300. Yeah. So it's not there.
And if they draw that tonight and they want to socially distance, they could probably put four seats between each person if they only get 3,000 in there tonight.
You know, I think it's the second. I mean, only San Jose State at 1,400 and Air Force at 1,300 are worse than Fresno State. Yeah. Bob, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and you look at atmospheres. If you ask me what atmospheres aren't good in this league, those would be the three that I would tell you. I would move Air Force into the good category if it's a game that they require the cadets to be there.
Bob,
if they don't require the cadets to be there, it's not a good atmosphere.
Quickly, Beeler, how do they listen tonight?
670 and 93.1. Both stations will have the game tonight. Pregame starts at 8:30. It'll be a late one tonight, of course, starting late and also the extra hour time difference as well.
Appreciate you, Bob. Good luck.
Thanks,
on the call.
Guys.
Yep, good stuff, Bronco. Focus, Bob Beeler. Prater, let's just stay in Fresno. First off, said no one ever.
I don't hate Fresno as much as other people do, but
it was not my favorite trip. When I did the WAC tour calling games for the Vandals, Fresno was not in my top three places to go in that WAC schedule.
But it wasn't your bottom three, was it? Maybe.
It might have been. I mean, I didn't like calling a game at San Jose State, but I loved being in San Jose for 3 days, right?
No.
Prater, let's stay in Fresno. BJ Raines, Bronco Nation News, with our BNN reporting, maybe even talk a little Boise State football. Who does BJ think the super seniors will be? That's next. Prater, the ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk, KTIK. The Ticket.
Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket.
What's going on and welcome. Hour number two of what we hope is your favorite sports talk radio program, Idaho Sports Talk. Prater. In the ball game, got JP in the studio as well. In this hour, we're going to give you a chance to win some prizes with trivia. We're going to pick our NFL championship game weekend selections. And Prater says he has a guarantee of who is going to the Super Bowl. He's going to tell you that in a couple of minutes.
I'm coming after you hard, ball game.
Yep.
I'm way behind in these stats, and there's no way I'm writing a $200 check to BYU football. I'm coming after you hard this weekend, buddy.
That's what's at stake. Loser has to write a $200 check to the other team's football rival. In my case, yeah, Prater, if you come back and shock the world and beat me, I got to write a $200 check to Boise State University football.
Break that pen out, sucker.
Not excited. So I like my chances of winning, though, Prater. Let's head to our Fat Guys Fresh Deli hotline. And this is a new form of this interview with BJ Raines. We've been having him on this show at this hour on this day for a couple of years now, but the relationship between us here at KTIK and BJ at Bronco Nation News has went to another level. This interview is now available on all social media channels for both KTIK and Bronco Nation News. So we are all over the place getting you up to speed on everything Bronco Nation News. And BJ, welcome to the program. And obviously, you're live from Fresno in a big game tonight against the Bulldogs. How you see this playing out? Welcome to the show, bud.
Yeah, me and Bob are here at the hotel together in separate rooms, so we could have done this together, I guess, here at the same hotel in Fresno. Looking forward to the game tonight. It should be an exciting game, really excited, and obviously, as everybody knows, Boise State going for the school record 14, and I think if you look at the 13, I know you guys have talked about it, Bob's talked about it, I don't think it's comparable. I think what they've done to this point, 13 in a row, is so much more impressive than last year. You talk about winning 5 games on the road with fans, you talk about the places they've won, the teams they've beat, it's not even comparable. This is the best 13-game stretch they've had in school history by far, and they can cement themselves tonight as the longest winning streak in school history, but it's not going to be easy. Fresno State's selling $5 tickets. They're expecting a decent crowd tonight, and it's a game that Boise State almost lost the first time these two teams played a month ago or so in Boise, so it's going to be a tough game. Orlando Robinson's a heck of a player, and they're going to lose at some point. We'll see. Tonight is going to be a tough one if they want to keep this streak going.
BJ, the second leading scorer for Boise State, Marcus Shaver Jr., his status, he twisted his ankle the last game, still came back and played on it, but ankles are tricky. Sometimes playing on it right away might be the best thing you can do. What's the status there? What can you tell us? Do you think Marcus Shaver plays, and how do you think he does?
Yeah, and that was one of the comments we just got live on the YouTube stream here for KTIK as well. Jay asking about Marcus Shaver's status and what happens if he can't go and who steps up. And I think he's going to go. Obviously, he played the whole second half, so that's a good sign. He just rolled his ankle, and so if he had not come back in the game, I think it would have been a scarier proposition. So, he wasn't himself out there. He was obviously limping around, but everything I've been told, indications are that he'll play tonight, and we'll see, his effectiveness. And on the other side, it's very interesting because Orlando Robinson is going through the same thing. He twisted his ankle and only played 15 minutes, and their coach, Justin Hudson, was saying yesterday that they expect and hope he'll play but don't know what percentage he'll be at. So the two best players out there on the court both dealing with ankle injuries, and I think whichever one is more effective might give his chance, his team, the better chance to win tonight.
We're talking to BJ Raines, Bronco Nation News. That we do this every Friday at 4 o'clock right here on Idaho Sports Talk. BJ, and you can also follow right now on our KTIK Twitter channels, social media channels, Bronco Nation News social media channels as well. BJ, I was going to ask you about that. You kind of just answered my question, but let's dive into a bit more detail. Who does have the advantage if Shaver and Robinson are both limited with a little bit of ankle issues?
Oh, definitely Boise State. Boise State's the deeper team. Orlando Robinson is a huge, high usage guy for Fresno State. He gets the ball in his hands an awful lot, averages 19 points a game, 8.6 rebounds. I mean, you look at some of the recent games, he had a 30-point game recently. I mean, Orlando Robinson does it all. He shoots the three ball. He shoots it inside. He's shooting, 79% from the free throw line, 50% from the field. He's even like 35% from three-point range. So he's by far their best player. He's, right now maybe the favorite for Mountain West Player of the Year, and according to KenPom, he's like top five in the national Player of the Year race in terms of at least some of the numbers, so he's got a chance to be an All-American candidate. So he is more important to his team. I hate to say this, not to degrade Marcus Shaver, but he is probably a little more important to his team's success than Marcus Shaver is. So if Orlando Robinson is not 100% or not able to play at all, that's a much bigger hit for them. But Marcus Shaver's hit some big shots, and you remember he hit the two game-winning shots in the last week, but he kind of started these theatrics against Fresno State. He hit a huge three-pointer from the top of the key with about 4 minutes left to give Boise State the lead. He hit another bucket and kind of fueled a late run. Boise State was losing in that game and ended the game, I think, on a 17-5 run that Marcus Shaver Jr. kind of fueled. So they need him out there, and they need him healthy, and he's obviously a huge piece, and because he finished the game, like I said, I think that's a good sign that he'll probably be okay tonight.
Orlando Robinson did his damage against Boise State last time, but Boise State won that basketball game. It's a tricky matchup for Armouche because sometimes he's got to come out to the three-point line, and I think he handled himself pretty well in that last game. How do you see that matchup tonight? And if Orlando Robinson's limping around a little bit, that's got to be advantage for Armouche, who's not the fastest guy in the world.
Yeah, I mean, if the number one key to the game tonight is Mladen Armouche has to stay out of foul trouble, and I think that's a very well said, Prater, in terms of him having to guard him outside at the three-point line and moving around and, you know, he has to do a lot of things. And if Mladen Armouche, you know, we saw what happens to Boise State when he gets in foul trouble. You got those two cheap fouls in 5 seconds in the Wyoming game, and then they had other guys. I know Degenhart did an okay job on him there, but you're trying to put Lucas Milner on him and Najee Smith, and they just don't have another center that's as, you know, the size of Armouche, and just the defensive presence that Armouche is and the rebounding presence that he is. So the number one key tonight is Mladen Armouche staying out of foul trouble, playing his 30-plus minutes, you know, A, so he can defend Robinson, but B, so he can rebound out there. Because if he's on the bench, Fresno State all of a sudden has a rebounding edge down there in the paint. And so, yeah, I think that is going to be a matchup to watch, Robinson and against, you know, Armouche. And it's a very veteran officiating crew tonight. It's a Friday night. There's not very many games tonight. So I believe all three officials have done the Final Four, or have at least worked deep into the tournament tonight. So you're going to have a veteran crew on a Friday night. Nice. That you hope you know, officiate this game the right way.
PJ Raines, Bronco Nation News every Friday here on Idaho Sports Talk. I got to ask you some football question. It is a football Friday. We're holding on to these here in the studio, BJ. Next week, I think we're probably going to know for sure what signing day comes and whatnot, who the super seniors for the Boise State football team will be next year. Now, there's a lot of options, but that's kind of on the coaching staff, right? I mean, they get to pick who they're going to invite back and give a full scholarship to. What are you hearing? What are you thinking?
Well, I was putting this list together. They got 22 seniors or super seniors, and or I guess 22 seniors that were eligible to come back, if I did my math correctly. Okay. I'm sure you guys have all gone through this. So the one, you know, you look at the ones that are totally gone that we know of, and then there's a couple maybes, but you guys tell me where I'm wrong here, but I have 10 coming back. I have Zeke Noah, Jared Reed, the corner, Tyreek Jones, Caleb Biggers, Shane Irwin, Davis Cutter, Kurt Raftall, John Ojukwu, Will Farah, and Divine Obasheri. Do any of those 10 stand out to you as you don't think are back?
My list is Biggers, Ojukwu, Cutter, Obasheri, Tyreek Jones, Shane Irwin, and I threw Scale in there, although we're not quite sure where his deal is. I did not include Ferrer, Noah, Reed, or Raftall in my list. So I'm still thinking maybe 4 to 6.
Okay, I think Jared Reed, when we talked to the new corners coach might have slipped and mentioned Jared Reed is coming back. He was the Utah State transfer that got hurt and never played last year. That's why I've got him on the list. And I did an interview with Riley Wimpy, and he said that Zeke Noah was coming back when I talked to Riley last week. So I've got Zeke Noah on my list. Okay. I thought Raftall may have said something. I believe when we talked to him at one point, said if they wanted him back, he'd be back. The other two I'm unsure of, Roman Kafensis and Damon Cole. I don't know if you guys have heard anything on those two, but the ones that we know are officially gone, according to my list, obviously are the two running backs, Jack Sears, Shakir, Cantrell, Harrington, Kelamete, Octavius Evans, and CT Thomas. And you get that's 22. And, you know, last year they only had 8. So, you know, my list is 10. So I don't know if there's a situation where you're probably right, Prater. They're probably not going to take more this year than they did last year, when last year you could go over the scholarship limit. This year you have to get back to 85.
Yeah.
I still think there's a transfer or two to happen at some point, too, because there's some roster management that has to happen here to get this roster down to 85 by the year.
All right. Speaking of management, Jeremiah Dickey's got himself a little bit of a job. All of a sudden he wakes up and he's got 11 new openings on his football schedule. A lot of buzz this week about who's going to replace Boise or BYU on Boise State's football schedule. We had a lot of conversations from a lot of different listeners. Johnny and I have some thoughts and opinions. What kind of mixture of games do you want to see Boise State put in these 11 spots?
Well, I was looking at their future schedules and where they have the openings, and that obviously has something to do with it. And I know games can get moved around or not. You know, Jeremiah Dickey talked about, I believe, wanting to play an FCS school every year.
Yeah.
And if that's the way they're going to do it, I see no reason why you wouldn't just play Idaho and Idaho State. Alternate Idaho and Idaho State. Some fans love it. Some fans hate it. I just, you know, pay them their check. Let them come in there. Beat them 55-3. And it's two local in-state schools. You help them out. You get an easy win. I see no reason why you need to be playing some of the, you know, the Middle Tennessee States or whatever of the FCS worlds from schools that aren't even close to here. It makes no sense to me. Play the Southern Utahs, play the Idaho States, Montanas. You play the local regional FCS schools if you want to do that. That's fine.
Yep.
And then I think you need to go into the recruiting areas. Arizona State, get down into the Phoenix area. Arizona, if you want to go in the Pac-12 there. I know Utah, Prater mentioned, would be one that makes sense to me. The Texas schools. What about Baylor? I mean, can Jeremiah Dickey work out a home and home with Baylor? You're probably shooting too high if you try to get Texas, but maybe a Texas Tech. You know, maybe you want to go into the recruiting areas and you want to obviously get some Power 5 schools. Maybe you can get a Missouri, you know, maybe a mid-level to lower-level SEC team that's willing to do a home-and-home. I know with Eli Drinkwitz being at Missouri. So, I don't know. I think you want to get a mixture of it. You know, some of these, like 2026, they need two games now. You know, there's a lot of openings now that they're going to have to deal with. And with this new philosophy with the FCS, there's going to be some movement. So wouldn't surprise me if you see some other games get moved around and stuff as well. But I want to see Idaho. I want to see Idaho State. And give me some games in areas where Boise State does recruiting.
Yeah, BJ, last thing for me here, too. We just talked with Jason Eck today of Idaho, and he said, dude, we play Nevada, Wyoming, and San Jose State already scheduled. We are scheduling Mountain West games. Why can't it just be Boise State? It seems like the Vandals want this, too. I know fans do. I think most fans do, Prater. And fans that don't, you can text us and tell you why. But, BJ, do you think Jeremiah Dickey's going to wave that magic wand and one day return Idaho and Boise State on the football field together?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I do. I think that will happen at some point. I do agree with him. You look at their future schedules. Each of the next 4 years, they've got two Power 5 road games already scheduled. So Idaho's all about taking the road paychecks and getting paid. And if you're going to play it, you know, all these other schools, and they're all regional games, Oregon, Wyoming, Washington State, San Jose State, like you said, Cal, Nevada. You know, they play Indiana next year on the road for some reason. But, yeah, I think it just makes perfect sense. I know I get it. When Idaho was FBS, they wanted the home and home, and there was no chance that was going to happen. But now that Idaho's FCS, they realize where they are. I think you take your paycheck, you just do it every other year, every third year here in Boise, and you call it good.
BJ, any updates at all on Florida State coming back here?
That's not going to happen. No, I don't. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if you're Boise State, you try to get some money out of it. You see how much money you can get out of it. But everything I've heard, people I've talked to, I don't think Florida State has strong interest in wanting to come all the way back here and play that game. So I haven't heard if there's been a financial settlement reached or what's going on there. But if you're a Boise State fan, still holding on to Florida State coming to the Blue, at least under the current agreement that they had from a couple years ago, I think that's a pipe dream.
All right, BJ, we'll all look at your coverage tonight down at the Save Mart Center on Bronco Nation News. Always appreciate this hit you do with us on Fridays. Safe travels, too.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
Love it. BJ Raines here, IdahoSports.com Fridays. What's up, Raiders?
Oh, back in the day when BJ and I were competitors, he would always depress me. Not always, but every now and then he would depress me. And then I would kick his ass.
Okay.
Now he just depressed me again.
How did BJ depress you again?
No Florida State?
Oh, yeah.
That's the first I've heard that it's not happening. Yep. I mean, it's not official.
No.
But up until now, we've always thought that maybe that was going to work out. So, gosh dang it, BJ.
You think, I mean, you're essentially hoping Florida State throws you a bone on that, right? They don't have to come back. I mean, it'd be cool if they did. But there's, you know, they don't have to. And Jeremiah Dickey maybe doesn't have those relationships. I don't know. He's just thinking, I'd love for them to come back. But, you know, Florida State's got a lot of problems right now. You know, maybe throwing Boise, Idaho a bone might not be high
on the
priority list.
Get out
man.
Of here, ballgame. You're depressing me more. Go away.
Jeremiah Dickey,
go
man.
Go away, man.
All right.
Jeremiah Dickey, by the way, last night, I finally got my text from him. I've been begging and whining, and speaking of depressing me, geez. I come marching in today, and I say, guys, I finally got my Jeremiah Dickey text last night. You know, I've been whining that he didn't text me on Christmas Day like he did you.
Yeah.
And I said, guys, and then ballgame goes, yeah, I got one too last night. And I thought, well, so he's out there doing it to everybody, but at least he finally included me, and then you know what I forgot to do?
What'd you do? You didn't text him back?
I forgot.
Oh, dude.
I forgot to
text
him back.
Dude. I texted him back, like, not in 15 seconds, you know? In, like, a couple of minutes, I texted him back. Like, yo, JD, what's up, man? Yeah, cool. Everything's great. Hope your family's well. You didn't text him back. Well, that's why you're not in the cool kids club. You're not sitting in the back of the bus with us.
That's the problem that I had. I was like, okay, I don't want to be that guy who texts you back in 10 seconds.
Yeah, no.
So
no.
There's a strategy involved.
That's BJ. That's BJ. Don't be him.
Yeah, and I didn't want to be BJ. And so I thought, okay, I won't act like the schoolgirl or the guy with the man crush. Yeah. I'm gonna give it 5 minutes and then I'll text him back and then I forgot. Are you kidding me?
That's what happened. You were going to text. Yeah, I do that sometimes too, but dude, didn't do that with Dickey last night. So Prater, you didn't text. Have you texted him back since?
7:30 this morning. which is probably another crime.
You woke him up.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking Jeremiah Dickey's probably not sleeping in.
He's up. Yes. He's up at 7:30.
So I'm probably not going to get another text, and I'm definitely off the Christmas card list. I've just completely botched this relationship all over a couple of simple text messages.
No one to blame but yourself, Mike Prater.
It really truly is, and it's more depressing.
At least you have a guarantee on who's going to go to the Super Bowl. We have our NFL picks coming up next, and Prater's going to give you that Super Bowl guarantee, and he's probably going to get ready to write a check for $200 paid to Brigham Young University Football Department, and I can't wait for it.
No, we're going to change one letter in that. It's going to be, instead of BYU, it's going to be BSU.
I do not want to do that.
And the signature on the check is going to say, do you write your checks Johnny Ballgame?
Prater,
have you ever signed a check Johnny Ballgame?
No. No, man. John Mallory, man. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to send you a check, and it's going to say two Johnny ball games.
All right, that's next. We love you, man. I know Sports Talk. We're Prater in the ball game. Sports Radio, the ticket.
You're listening to Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the ball game on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The ticket.
So we're at break right there. And when we get the cameras put in the studio, maybe you guys will be able to see what goes on during the breaks. But JP, right when we go to the break, Prater, he goes, wait, you guys like wait however long before you text somebody back? Like he doesn't do that. He has no clue.
I'm an immediate texter backer.
Yeah. So
okay. JP's also the guy that shows up at a party 20 minutes early. Like, if you tell him the party's at noon, he'll be there at 11:40.
And then you're like, dude.
There might be some truth to that.
Yeah. Really? Have you done that at one of Prater's parties?
No, I didn't say at my party.
Okay, but yeah.
My house is always open for JP. He can always come over and
he knows that. He can come over and play ping pong and golf in the backyard at your house.
The ping pong table used to be his. I bought it from him.
Yeah. No way. Okay.
For $100.
That's goodbye.
And I also bought his lawnmower once for a couple of boxes of pizza.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was an old lawnmower. I think it lasted you a couple of years.
And the ping pong table is still rocking and rolling. It's JP's old ping pong. I think if you look underneath it, it says, you know, JP loves Jerry underneath it somewhere. He's got his initials carved in the bottom of my ping pong table.
JP loves Jerry, his wife. That's awesome, man.
But I text back right away. If I text somebody and then they text me back and then I respond to them again and then they wait, I'm like, wait a minute. I just texted you back. You have your phone in your hand. You couldn't even have time to put it down. Just respond to me.
Yeah.
I need an answer right now.
I like to wait. I like to wait at least 5 minutes, and then half the time I forget.
Yeah, you're definitely a waiter when it comes to people texting. Yeah, you don't text right back.
No.
I'll have you know, Jeremiah Dickey isn't texting JP.
Have his number?
I don't.
Could you text him right now in your phone?
I do not have Jeremiah Dickey's
phone. So that's why he's not texting you either. That's good. Maybe you know, at least you have an excuse.
I'll have to break into Johnny's phone and steal Jeremiah Dickey's phone.
Who's the most famous person that sent you a text in the last month?
In the last month? That's a good question. Jeremy McNichols the other day.
Okay. Not too shabby. Yeah. NFL running back. Prater's nodding his head up and down. That gets a little Prater approval. Yeah, all right.
Probably better than what I got.
JP and J-Mac. They're boys over there. Yeah. I love it. Okay, JP. Where do we stand? This is the playoff contest where the loser has to write a $200 check to the least football team of their choice. Prater, BYU, me, Boise State. Where do we stand here, bro?
Ball game, you're way ahead of me. You're kicking my ass here. You're kicking my ass hard. And basically what we're doing here is we're picking games and you get points for whatever. If your team wins, you get that many points based on their seed. So if like a San Francisco wins, you get 6 points because they're a 6 seed. So they've been worth 12 points so far in this tournament. Ball game, based on our picks, you are leading me 23-10.
Ooh,
I love that lead, guys.
You have a 13-point lead, and based on Prater math, there are 16 points still on the table. So if I go 3-0 in these next three games, and you go 0-3, I can make it happen. As a matter of fact, ball game, I'm going to make it happen.
Prater, let me just start your letter, dear Coach Sataki. Yes. Hope things are well with you. Here's $200 out of respect for your program. Signed, Mike Prater.
Can I say a dear coach, former University of Utah coach, Kalani Sitake, just to ease the pain? Because don't forget, he's a former Ute.
$200 to BYU football. Oh, I can't wait for this. I got to win first.
No, yeah, you got to win first, my friend. Right. And I cannot wait until you write that check to BYU or Boise State football.
I don't want to do that.
It's going
to
happen.
Because that's the money I plan on giving to Idaho. So I won't. Vandals, you don't get any money if I lose this. So this is big.
All right. Well, let's start. We've got a number 4 seed, Cincinnati, against the 2 seed Chiefs. AFC Championship game Sunday, 1 p.m. right here on Sports Radio The Ticket. Mike Prater, let's start with you since you're behind and trying to make up some ground.
Strategically, I'm not sure that that's good because I'd like to go last because I'm not sure where ball game is going to go here, and I need some points. So my strategy is pretty simple here. I cannot afford to be messing around with the Kansas City Chiefs and their silly little two seed. I got to go 4 seed with the Cincinnati Bengals. Not only do I have to do that strategically, I think it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, I know it's going to happen. I'm going to steal a line from my boy Johnny Ballgame and say that Joe Burrow is the greatest thing out there since sliced bread. And you may or may not pick Cincinnati. I'm not sure where you're going. I know you love Joe Burrow. We all love Joe Burrow. He's fantastic to watch play, and he's going to be unbelievable to watch for the next couple of years in this playoffs or in the National Football League.
Long time.
Don't forget, Week 17, 446 yards, 4 touchdowns, an absolute butt-kicking. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen, my friend. They are better at Kansas City in a lot of these skill positions. Kansas City doesn't have great skill play. Well, I shouldn't say that. They have Kittle. They have Hill. Hill's inconsistent. Kelsey. Did I say Kittle?
Kelsey. Kittle.
You know, he could be better at certain times. Yeah. I love Chase. I love Mixon. I'll even throw in a Higgins and a Boyd.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really, really excited about this ball game. I'm really worried about Cincinnati's offense being consistent, but there's no doubt in my mind they can get this package done. The Cincinnati Bengals are the better team. And there's no points involved, by the way. This is straight up. We're taking straight up.
Yep.
Cincinnati Bengals, no-brainer.
You know, you have to take the Bengals, pretty much based on points.
I want to take the Bengals because they're going
to
win.
JP, all I need is basically one team to win. And I am picking the Bengals to win this game in real life. Like, I'm gambling on them.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of this tournament, for this contest with Prater, if I just need the Chiefs to win and I basically seal this up, just give me the quick Chuck Woolery 2-2. We're out of here. We're going to Sizzler on this thing. I'll take the Chiefs and the 2 points, PZ boy.
All right. Let's get over to the NFC then. Johnny, let's go back to you. We've got the number 6 seed, 49ers, 4 seed Rams at home. You'd like to lock it up? What do you got?
I'm going with the LA Rams. I think they're the better team. I think they have the better roster. I don't understand why Sean McVay can't beat Kyle Shanahan, his buddy, to save his life. He's 3-7 all time and 0 for the last 6. But that's going to change. The Rams are at home, and the LA Rams are going to go to the Super Bowl, and they're going to play in their own home stadium. Oh, wait, we just saw that. Yeah, it's going to happen again. The Cooper Cup traveling Circus McGurkus receptions tour continues. The Rams win the NFC Championship right here on KTIK Prater, and that's 4 points. The Rams are a 4 seed. Give me that 4. This is an easy peasy for me. Give me the Rams, Prater.
Yeah, I'll take the 49ers and their 6 points and their 6 seeds. And that tells me that 6 points out of San Francisco, 4 points out of Cincinnati. That gives me 10 points ball game. That all of a sudden makes this thing a 23-20 score going into the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
It's going to happen, ball game. I'm fired up. I'm very excited about this. San Francisco, I don't know why you're... When you gamble, you have to rely on the facts, and the facts are that San Francisco is in Coach McVay's head. It's what makes you think that all of a sudden Coach McVay can get out of that 6-game slump against the 49ers? It's not going to happen. Now, with that said, ball game, there are 2 stats, and I'll throw these out there as a public service announcement. The Cincinnati Bengals, if you're really going to go bet this money on your bookie, the Cincinnati Bengals, going back to that last game, in 2 playoff wins, they've had 22 possessions. They've scored 3 touchdowns.
The Bengals.
That scares me.
Or do you mean the...
Or did I screw that up? Is that the Chiefs? No, that's the Bengals.
I thought you were talking to... Okay, those are your PSA. So yes. The Bengals aren't scoring a lot of touchdowns. Yes.
San Francisco hasn't scored an offensive touchdown in 5 quarters in these playoffs.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
5 quarters. And they had that defensive pick 6 last week. 5 quarters, they haven't scored an offensive touchdown.
And Debo's been a little shaky with the injury, although I expect he'll be fine. I think it was a helmet to the knee.
Yep.
That's just a pain threshold. That's no tear or strain. It's just a damn owie. So I think Debo will be okay. But I think if you win both games, we're tied, right? I'm up 13 points, and you took, what, a 6 seed and a...
4. So it's 23-20. Okay. It becomes 23-20. Yeah, you're up 23-10.
So I'll still be up 3. I just need 3. One of my picks, too, and then I bury you. You can't win after that.
It's not going to happen, ballgame.
Mr. Brigham Young, man.
It's not going to happen, ballgame.
You're going to write a check to Brigham Young. Oh,
dear Coach Sataki, please use $20 of this money to buy yourself lunch at Subway. Signed, Mike Prater.
Wow, where'd that come from?
Why Subway?
Yeah, where'd that come from?
He looks like a Subway guy.
Sataki?
Yeah.
Yeah, Provo's kind of a Subway type of town.
I'm going to stay out of that.
Man. Okay. So that's what we have.
Ball game, good luck. You're going to need it.
I think I got you, man. I mean, that's going to be a beautiful moment. Hopefully we'll have the cameras in the studio, or we'll just make sure we have cameras in the studio before we make up with that bet. That way I can... see you on camera, pull out that checkbook. When, do you still write checks? Do you have a checkbook?
I do have a checkbook because like 2 of my bills, I have to write like 2 checks a month.
So you still write checks. JP, have you written a check?
I haven't written a check in a long, long time. I can't remember the last check I wrote.
Who do I write checks to? I have a checkbook. Very rarely. Yeah, very rarely do.
Sometimes
I write a check
to my mechanic.
Okay. Do you still go to you still physically do your banking inside a bank, right, JP?
Not unless I have to.
Okay. I don't remember the last time I was in a bank, Prater.
No.
Like when you used to go to the bank, you'd grab the deposit slip, you'd fill it out with your account number, then you'd go up to the teller and like small talk with the bank teller.
You were trying to pick her up.
I mean, sometimes, sure. But yeah, there's certain things that you just don't do anymore.
Do they have tellers still in banks?
Yes. Does anybody out there text us? Do you still physically do your bank?
You just said you've never been to a bank.
I've gone through a drive-thru, so they have to have a teller.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys still do banking physically? Like you're actually going into the bank. 208-424-9300 on the Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Coming up. Leon Rice, you want to hear from your Boise State basketball coach? Well, he's going to be here next talking about Fresno State and their big man, Orlando Robinson. KTIK, The Ticket.
This is Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the Ballgame on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket. Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket.
Hang around for Rock, Jocks, and Pop Culture in a few minutes. We've got golf show tickets and Idaho Steelheads vouchers for any home game still to come. But first, Boise State basketball team, they can run their win streak to 14 games tonight. They'll need to do it on the road at Fresno State. Their big 7-footer, Orlando Robinson, averaging 19 points per game. He had 22 in the first meeting between the Broncos and Bulldogs, but missed some time in the last game with an ankle injury. A TV station down in Fresno reporting that he'll give it a go tonight. And Leon Rice talked about their big guy.
A lot of different ways you can score, inside, outside, hit threes. He's back to the basket. He faces up. He's probably one of the most versatile big guys in the country that way. And he's a great defender, too. That's, you know, that's the thing that, you know, he fits in their schemes defensively. And he does all that stuff on both ends.
And we've got that game tonight. Bob Beeler and Abe Jackson, 9 p.m., a Friday night late nighter.
Here's my issue with Fresno State and all this talk about Orlando Robinson. Yeah, he can be a first rounder, although I don't think he is going to be a first rounder in the NBA. I don't think he's that good, but he's pretty good. He's going to end up in the NBA. Fresno State has nothing after that. Nothing.
At least the last time they played Boise State, that was apparent. Yeah. I mean, you weren't even scared by any of the other players out there.
None whatsoever. It's kind of sad. The Mountain West is better when Fresno State is good at basketball. So let's hope they at least put up a little bit of a fight tonight.
And we've got some breaking news on the NFL coaching front. Adam Schefter reporting that the New York Giants have hired Bills defensive coordinator Brian Daboll, which, you know, kind of leads down to the Miami job opening, which Kellen Moore had a second interview or will have a second interview for. He was also considered down there. So things getting a little bit interesting as these jobs get snapped up here lately.
Based on the news that we know publicly, and the NFL reporters are all over this, there are two finalists now. Two finalists for the Miami Dolphins job.
Who?
San Francisco offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel.
Okay.
And Kellen Moore.
Wow.
Those, I mean, it was reported earlier this week, three finalists, and they're all three going to interview next week.
Holy smokes.
Daboll's going to be one of them. Daboll's gone now, and I don't think he was ever going to be in play because I didn't think he was ever going to escape New York. He was going to stay with the Giants, or not stay, but go to the Giants.
They're the new GM with the Giants, right? Didn't they grab from Buffalo?
Exactly, exactly. So those two guys are reunited. Mike McDaniel and Kellen Moore, according to all the reports out there, are now the only two finalists for the Miami Dolphins job, and they'll both interview next week. Mike McDaniel is a Yale guy. He started his career in 2005 as an intern with the Denver Broncos, went to Houston, the Redskins. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, that's the team he coached for back in the day.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Atlanta, San Francisco. He was an offensive assistant for the Falcons in 15 and 16. I don't think
that's when they went to the Super Bowl.
Is that when they – that's not when they – Cutter was there. I don't think Cutter
was there. No, that was when Shanahan was there. This guy's a Shanahan
that's
guy.
Right.
Shanahan brought him to San Francisco from Atlanta.
That's right. So there is – you know, there's that. So Kellen Moore, a Boise State guy. Mike McDaniel, a Yale guy. Going after the Miami Dolphins job. Isn't the NFL a beautiful thing?
Dude, sometimes? I think Kellen might get that gig. If that really are the two finalists, Kellen and Mike McDaniel. So did they interview Bieniemy, or is he just – no one interviews Bieniemy. Did they
– I don't think he's got a single interview.
Did they interview anybody as far as the Rooney Rule is concerned? Miami. They had to have.
I don't know.
I don't know who the – maybe the me. I don't know who it was, but, I mean, Kellen Moore, dude. I think he's got a shot off that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it's well, I mean, it's at least it's 50-50 at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Daboll considered a Belichick guy? I mean, he did win five Super Bowls with the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
Well, so he's a Belichick guy.
Yeah, he's off that tree.
He also won a national championship with Nick Saban, okay? Brian Daboll did. So he's got six really big rings, five Super Bowl rings and one college football natty. Is this finally going to end that Belichick assistants can't coach in the NFL stigma? I don't know. I mean, this looks like a good hire, I think, for New York. Clean up quarterback, get yourself in better salary cap situation. But I like this hire for the Giants. Not really here nor there, but I thought Daboll was going to get a job last year. Now he gets that gig and he gets his chance. We'll see what this does to Josh Allen. Josh Allen just lost his OC.
Yep.
Finally, the Steelheads hoping to have the same firepower tonight that they put up Wednesday night in their opening game with the Kansas City Mavericks as they went on a route 9-4. Pink in the rink tonight and tomorrow. Steelheads wearing pink jerseys for the next couple of games that'll be auctioned off tomorrow night to benefit St. Luke's Breast Care Services. 7:10, that game right here on 95.3 The Ticket and 1350 AM The Ticket.
I'll be tuned into the Steelies tonight. I'll have pink hockey jerseys, Prater. Do you think there's going to be a fight tonight? I'll guarantee it.
I don't know if there's going to be a fight tonight. It got ugly with three fights on Wednesday. I predict tonight to be a pretty smooth defensive game, and then tomorrow all hell's going to break loose.
I love it. Who wants to play rock jocks and pop culture? Have a chance to win two tickets to an Idaho Steelheads game of your choice and two tickets to the Boise Golf Show. Call 208-424-9300. Who wants to play today? Answer some trivia questions. We'll hook you up with prizes. It's Rock Jocks and Pop Culture brought to you by Advanced Heating and Cooling, and it's next on Prater and the Ballgame.
Idaho Sports Talk presents Rock Jocks and Pop Culture. The Wall of Fame is there for the taking. Unfortunately, so is the Wall of Shame. Now, here's Johnny on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for being with us on a Football Friday. Look, the show's going to get way better in 13 minutes because former NFL head coach Dirk Cutter, our official playoff correspondent, will join the program, Prater.
I always love
Cutter on a Friday. But first, here's Rob in Meridian, our contestant on Rock Jocks Pop Culture, brought to you by Advanced Heating and Cooling. Rob in Meridian, are you the Robert in Meridian who texts the show about 95 times a day?
That is me.
Awesome. Glad. Is this the first time you've done Rock Jocks?
No, I've done it a couple times.
What? Okay, all right.
Trying to go for the Wall of Fame.
Okay, are you on either, Famer or Shamer?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, here we go. Let's see if we can get... Let's get a name up on the wall today, Prater. I don't care if it's for fame or shame. Let's get Robert and Meridian on there, or Rob and Meridian. Here we go, Robbie. Who in 1984 sang this? And I'm not going to sing the lyrics. I'm going to say the lyrics. Who sang this? All I know is that to me, you look like you're lots of fun. Open up your loving arms. I want some. Want some. Who sang that?
You know, that's a little before my time. I think I'll get some help from Prater here.
You want to hear it again, Prater?
Yeah, although I think there was one line in there that I think I might.
Okay.
Let's do it. Can you sing it? No, you don't want to sing it.
Okay. All I know is that to me, you look like you're lots of fun. Open up your loving arms. I want some. Want some. Who sang that? What band?
Open Up Your Loving Arms. I think that's a Crew song. Motley Crue. I'm going to go Motley Crue.
Rob?
All right. I'll go with that too. Motley Crue.
JP?
I don't know the song, but it seems like I've heard Motley Crue sing that. No?
Bad Breaks and
Crew. I was going to guess Van Halen.
All I know is that to me, you look like you're lots of fun. Open up your loving arms. Watch out, here I come. You spin me right round, baby, right round. Like a record, baby, right round, round, round. You spin the... You know who that is?
You spin me right... I should know that.
I know the song. I don't know the artist off the top of my head.
And I can attest that he did that off the top of his head. He wasn't looking at any lyrics, man.
I know that song.
I think he got us, ball game.
Dead or alive.
Wow.
Okay. Right.
Here we go. Not making it easy today.
0-1, Rob Meridian. Next one, Rob Meridian. When Johnny Unitas won his only Super Bowl, okay? Johnny U. Who his team beat in that Super Bowl?
Oh, JP, I need some help.
Johnny U. So we're talking Colts. Would have been Super Bowl. I'm gonna go with. I should know this. My cousin is a huge Colts fan. I should know this. I'm embarrassed. I'm going to go with either the Dallas Cowboys or...
Yeah, you can give him multiples or whatever. Just be that lifeline.
I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys.
Robbie, JP is saying the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. I was thinking either them or the Packers. Yeah, you know what? We'll roll with it. Let's go with the Dallas Cowboys.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
Rob, would you give a big thank you to JP right now?
You can't see me, but I'm bowing down right now.
Thank you, JP. Bow down to JP. I love it. It was Super Bowl V. They call it the Blunder Bowl. There was like 13 total turnovers. It was won by a last-second kick by Jimmy O'Brien, the kicker.
Who was, I believe, drunk or hungover.
Was he? I always noticed he didn't have his chin strap snapped. I've seen the play a million times. I was like, dude, didn't even... Anyway, Johnny Unitas, that was the only Super Bowl win he was a part of. He won NFL championships, obviously, and was a backup in Super Bowl III when they lost to the... To the Jets.
To the Joe Namath guarantee game.
Yeah. Yep. Johnny U.
Because Earl Morrill started that game,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. Johnny U cleaned it up. There you go, yep. Prater. Okay, Rob. You can still get two tickets to a Steelies game and the Boise Golf Show. You're still in this, Rob. You just don't have any lifelines. Okay.
I believe.
Let's nail this thing. Yes, Ted Lasso. Here we go. Rob, what is the name, pop culture, what is the name of the process in which plants make food from sunlight? What's that called?
Oh, you know what? I have to have my bachelor's degree in environmental science.
You better know this then. I mean, you don't even have to have that. You just need to show up day one of, like, freshman year biology.
I know. That's photosynthesis.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to
hook
play
him
ball.
Up, JP. Yes, look at the brain on Rob. He might not know the lyrics to a Dead or Alive song, but he'll damn sure tell you what the hell photosynthesis is. Prater, are you a photosynthesis kind of guy?
No. I probably would have said something stupid like osmosis or something.
You wouldn't have got that right?
No.
Oh, you would have been so exposed, man. Photosynthesis, come on, man.
I believe that's twice you've asked a photosynthesis question,
too. No, it is not.
I guarantee that's at least the second one you've asked.
JP, I don't remember ever asking a plant question.
You did. You've asked photosynthesis question before.
Potentially. Yeah, it might have been phrased differently, but sure.
I love it. Hey, Rob, congratulations. Thanks for being such a big fan of the show, man.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
Hell yeah, man. Advanced heating and cooling. How about 24/7 financing options? How about a free air purification system if you get a new furnace? How about paying a little less than $100 on financing? Well, all those things and more with Advanced Heating and Cooling. I like their 24/7 service. I can call them at any time, and I know that they're going to be there to switch out or repair my current system. Heat, air, fresh air, you know it, you love it. Go to Advanced Heating and Cooling. They support us, so support them in return. Prater, Dirk Cutter, former Boise State head coach, former NFL head coach. He coached on the same staff as guys like Andy Reid in his long journey of coaching. So when he talks about football, we're smart enough to shut the hell up and listen, right?
Take notes, baby. Take notes.
Getting you ready for conference championship weekend with Dirk Cutter. Don't miss this segment, damn it. Idaho Sports Talk, Brander in the Ballgame. KTIK Sports Radio. The Ticket.
Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket. Now let's break down this week's NFL games with someone that's been there, done that. The pride of Highland High School in Pocatello, Idaho, Dirk Cutter.
What's going on? And welcome, Idaho Sports Talk, Prater in the Ballgame. And yeah, you heard right, Dirk Cutter joining us on our Fat Guys Fresh Deli hotline talking NFL football championship weekend. It's Friday. It's 5:00. Prater, there's a lot of cool things going on right now, but not only is he just the pride of Pocatello, I was on a website today. The website was called thefamouspeople.com, and it has Dirk Cutter ranked 29th all time in the most famous people born in Idaho. 29th of all time, Prater. So that's how big a guess this is. Hey, coach, what's up, man?
Hey, can you send me a copy of that?
I actually can. You know what? Because I have an issue with it, coach, because Aaron Paul was ranked number one, the actor. And Sacagawea, who I've always said is the most famous person ever born on Idaho soil, Sacagawea was ranked third behind Lana Turner, who was nice, don't get me wrong, and Aaron Paul. Dirk Cutter slips all the way down to 29? Hey, Dirk, Sacagawea should have been good. Number one.
Yeah, I think so. You make a good case for Sacagawea.
Coach, what's different about the playoffs? I mean, from a head coaching standpoint, there's four coaches going through it this week. I mean, do you push them a little more? Do you let them rest up more? Has anything changed throughout the week? Like, how do the playoffs run differently, if so?
Yeah, definitely rest them more. You know, nobody's practicing very much in the NFL this late in the season. And, you know, that's one thing that's just a lot different when you go from college to the NFL is you're blown away by how little you really practice. How even though you might be putting new stuff in, you know, rep it maybe one time and walk through it a couple times, and it's ready for games. And you know, anyone who's been there will tell you that there's a different speed between the preseason NFL to regular season NFL, and then there's a different speed between regular season NFL to playoff NFL. I think the best example of that that people can really identify with, look at the 49ers playing Debo Samuel as a running back in the playoffs. I mean, no team in the NFL would take their number one wide receiver who they're, you know, they're hoping to have for 10 or 12 years and give him 12, 15 carries as a running back for too many games in the regular season because of the pounding that those guys take. They just wouldn't do it. But when you just have to win on a week-to-week basis to keep advancing, and man, what a move that's been for the 49ers getting Debo Samuel as a part-time running back.
Oh yeah, and you're right. I don't ever remember Dirk Cutter putting Julio Jones in Wildcat all that much, man. And you know, he might have been the best damn athlete you had for a time. Coach, this is a copycat league. Everybody always says that. Who did you copy? Who were dudes that you watched and said, oh, that play, oh, I'm going to steal that. I'm putting it in next week.
You know what's crazy about that, Johnny, is everybody in the NFL steals from everybody. And, you know, when it's just unreal. Whatever shows up on film, and, you know, you'll hear coaches talk about all the time. There's all, you know, they're going to watch there's the top runs of the week. You know, every run in the NFL over 10 yards, there's some coach that's watching that. Every pass over 15 yards, some coach is watching that. Everybody's got guys in back rooms breaking down film and naming plays in your terminology and trying to see what schemes are the most successful every year. And it kind of rotates around. I think one thing that's kind of interesting right now is if you really think about it, three of the four final teams left, everybody but the Chiefs, is their coaches are out of the Mike Shanahan tree. I mean, so that Mike Shanahan offense that's all geared around outside zone running plays and then the play action plays out of it. I mean, it started with Kyle Shanahan's dad, Mike Shanahan. But, you know, three of the four final teams are running that offense. And The Titans were another team that's running that offense. Now, Andy Reid, he's out of the Bill Walsh, Mike Holmgren tree, and he's taken the West Coast offense and definitely bastardized that and put his own spin on it. But he's out of a totally different tree, and he's the only one left doing it.
Talking NFL playoffs with Dirk Cutter, former Boise State head coach, former NFL head coach, longtime Idaho coach. Dirk, let's dive right into this playoffs. The first game on Sunday, 1 o'clock, Cincinnati, Kansas City. Can Joe Burrow actually beat Patrick Mahomes in this situation? It seems like Joe Burrow making his playoff debut, it's got to be a process, a couple of years before he gets to the Super Bowl, but crazier things have happened in the NFL.
Crazy things happen every week. And, you know, in anticipation of this interview, I went back and watched the tape of those games last week.
Coach, we don't do homework around here.
Hey, I'm a correspondent now. I had to do some homework.
I love it.
I'll tell you, I found myself screaming at the TV last week, thinking that Burrow should have been throwing the ball away more. But that's one thing that really jumped out at me after watching the tape is, man, that – they had guys coming at him from all angles. And, you know, Joe Burrow likes to be in empty formations. The Titans kept putting six guys up there against five. And Burrow got a couple nice plays out of that. But, man, he didn't have a chance to throw it away. They were on him fast. He took a lot of hits. To what you were saying, Mike, I would say in most cases this is a process. And even though Kansas City's defense really turned it around this year and carried them, was carrying their team in the middle part of the year when their offense was struggling, you know, you would just think that this would be an uphill battle, especially with how noisy and how loud that crowd's going to be in Kansas City. Arrowhead, one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. And you would just think that this is going to be an uphill battle. But like you said, it's crazy that the Bengals are even here in the first place. And Joe Burrow has been amazing, and those receivers are pretty good.
All right, let's dive into the afternoon game, San Francisco, Los Angeles Rams. We all know the storyline here. you know, Shanahan's inside McVay's head. Talk us through that. I know that's just a media phrase. It's probably dumb. I don't know if you ever felt like you were in a coach's head or vice versa, but how do you process a storyline like that?
Yeah, I'm sure that as far as Sean McVay is concerned, he's not giving that too much thought. I mean, anything that's a trend in the NFL, college too, you know, they were saying that Kirby Smart, that Nick Saban was in Kirby's head. And, you know, it still comes down to the players and players making plays. You know, Kyle Shanahan, McVay, Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator for the Rams, those guys were all together at that time, the Washington Redskins, when Mike Shanahan was the coach there. So those guys know each other really well. You know, the 49ers have beat the Rams 6 times in a row. The Rams were up 17-0 at one point in that last game. The thing that's been crazy today, it's been all over the news that they're projecting that 65% of the fans in SoFi Stadium will be 49er fans and only 35% Ram fans. That's just crazy. The Rams had to go to silent cadence in their own stadium when they played the Niners last time.
Wow.
That's just unreal. But you know, I think one of the interesting things, both teams have their left tackles were hurt last week. The Rams left tackle didn't play at all. The Niners left tackle got hurt in the second half of the game and hasn't practiced all week. So I think that's the one storyline. You know, those injury reports come out 90 minutes before kickoff. Let's see which team's going to really have their left tackle. But this is the game that for me is the hardest. Like, I really have no idea. They're sitting there saying the Rams are 3.5-point favorites, but boy, you could just make a great case either way for both of these teams to win. So in that case, usually it's going to come down to turnovers. And, you know, Garoppolo, even though he's made a couple in both of the last two games, he's made at least one bonehead play. Stafford, over the course of the season, has turned it over more than Garoppolo has. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that one's going to be a tremendous game.
Dirk Cutter, playoff correspondent, KTIK. Prater in the ball game. Coach, like I was saying, you know, Prater kind of went there. Kyle Shanahan is 6 of the last 6 versus McVay. He's 7-3 all time against him. If that was like your position, do you even bring that up to the team? When you're talking to your guys, you say, hey, just FYI, guys, these guys have beat us 6 straight times. Half of you weren't even on the team when that streak started, obviously, with NFL roster turnover. But do you even address, like, stats that float out there in the sports radio world all week? Do coaches pay attention and they throw that back in their team's face for maybe some motivation or whatever?
Yeah, I would say usually not. I would say that you know, you guys would be surprised that the average NFL player doesn't listen to much sports talk radio.
Dang it.
These guys are all in their early 20s, and they all have more real lives than the rest of us have. And you know, they're motivated by, you know, what can we do better? I think more what the Rams coaches are doing is they're poring over the video of those last two games from this year, because I think they played in week 10 and week 18. Mm-hmm. So those games are both pretty fresh. And, you know, players, they want to study the tape and see, okay, here's where we made mistakes. And maybe the coaches are saying, hey, they did out-scheme us. They did out-scheme us a little bit in this instance or that instance, but here's how we're going to correct that. I think that players just, they want to feel like they're at their healthiest, and that goes back to Mike's first question or Johnny's first question about how much are these teams practicing. I guarantee you their main goal is to just be as healthy as possible going in, and then what changes, what adjustments are we going to make from the first time we played to the second time we played now to the third time we played.
Dirk, let's jump over to this breaking story that's coming out of the NFL. The Giants have made it official. Brian Daboll is the new head coach in New York with the Giants. According to media reports, and we know the media is never wrong, the last two finalists standing with the Miami Dolphins, Kellen Moore and Mike McDaniel. We all know about Kellen Moore and what his background is. Mike McDaniel, a kid from Yale. I think he was a Colorado football nerd who's never played football. What do you know about Mike McDaniel?
Yeah, so Mike McDaniel, a lot of people say he's part of the brain trust of Kyle Shanahan's run game design. You know, Kyle Shanahan was a receiver coach before he became a play caller. He came up as a wide receiver coach. That's what position he played.
Yep.
That's what he did when he was helping his dad in, at the Redskins back in the day. But Mike McDaniel is the guy that, you know, I came in a couple years after them the second time I was in Atlanta, and the guys that were holdovers said that Kyle would emerge from his office on Monday night of game plan week, and he'd have all of his play actions and all of his passing game diagrammed out that he wanted to use that week, and then he would give it to McDaniel and have McDaniel go in a room and match up the formations and the motions and try to figure out how the run game would match the pass game.
Love it.
And that was kind of his claim to fame. I mean, he's been an under-the-radar guy. And then if you think of all the assistants that Shanahan has lost since he's been on this run, I mean,
yeah.
The head coach at Green Bay, the head coach at Cincinnati, those are Shanahan guys. So Matt McDaniel has kind of all of a sudden now he's got a title. He's just kind of risen up the ranks from being a guy doing the run game in the back room to now having the title of offensive coordinator.
You know, you said earlier in this segment that three of these four teams left standing all have this Shanahan influence. If Mike McDaniel is a heavy part of the Shanahan influence, we know the NFL likes to always pick the hot guy. Without knowing what the Dolphins want to do, does that kind of give him the one up here?
Well, I still think when you're talking about a head coach and, you know, you get in that final group of guys, your main thing is you have to go in there and impress that owner and make that owner see that your vision for the team, that you can make that vision work and you can carry that vision and turn that into wins in your division and then win your conference and get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, I don't know McDaniel personally, so I don't know how he would play in front of an owner. Obviously, you know, the three of us have all been around Kellen Moore to some extent, and we know how Kellen is going to come across. I don't know if that's the final two. That'll be interesting to see how it plays off. One thing is, you know, the Dolphins owner Stephen Ross. He's definitely been one to be a wild card in his career. I mean, he's not afraid to make a move. So we'll see how it turns out.
Do your homework on the owner. Dirk Koetter said that on this show last week, and I tweeted that out, and it got a massive audience. Thanks for that, Coach. Dirk, you've done interview number two. Kellen Moore is prepping for interview number two. We're talking the Miami Dolphins here, Coach, one of the flagship franchises in this league and have been for a long time. This is a good gig, man. This team won more games than they lost last year. What's the different part of the second interview, Coach?
Yeah, the second interview is going to be a whole lot less getting to know you and a whole lot more of sell me your vision. I mean, tell me what your vision is. And this is where these coaches that are getting a second interview, they've had a lot more time to study the Dolphins' current roster. And, you know, and if these are both offensive guys, how are you going to use Tua? How are you going to maximize the fact that you've got a dual threat quarterback? You know, Miami's known right now as a stronger defensive team than they are on offense. And, you know, I'm personally not familiar with all their personnel, but that's where on your second one, they're going to want to hear how you're going to use their personnel, and then what's your plan for free agency in the draft. Give me some examples of players and some areas you think we need to add to. How do we prioritize our draft, and how do we prioritize free agency to get our team where we want to go?
I love you, Coach. You're the best, man.
Well, I'm the 29th best, at least, and by someone, but I couldn't beat out Sacagawea and Aaron Ball.
The 29th most famous person born in the state of Idaho, our guest Dirk Koetter. That's according to thefamouspeople.com. Coach, we get smarter about football every week having you on. Hopefully you get that check in the mail soon, and we can't wait to talk next week, and really appreciate your insight, as always, Coach Koetter.
All right, you guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Heck yeah, man. I love that segment, Prater, talking NFL. Because that makes total sense about interview two, right? No more of this getting to know you stuff. Yep, how many kids do you have? No, how are you going to change my franchise, Mike Prater? What are you going to do? Who are you going to draft? What's breaking this down for me. Mike Prater, how are you going to change my sports section? How am I going to hire Prater to come into the newsroom and take this sports section to an entirely different planet, right?
I can answer that, but it would make me look bad. And by the way, you just made me look bad.
Why?
I've been covering Dirk Cutter for 25 years. I've never told him I love him.
Oh, gosh. JP, open phone Friday. Is anybody going to participate? I'm just going to tell you this. We've had up and down participation on open phone Friday, haven't we, Praters?
We have had up and down, yes.
And it has been brought to the pre-show meeting to cancel open phone Friday and just give you something better. We're trying to be nice here. We're trying to say, hey, here's a segment on Friday. We just open it up. You can call and ask JP about if he kissed his wife on their first date. I mean, anything. It's open phone Friday. If you don't participate, the segment's going bye, bye, bye. So get off it. 208-424-9300. Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Open phone Friday. What you guys got for us today? Let's line up those calls and let's have some fun. KTIK Sports Radio, The Ticket.
We've got your work days covered. Jim Rome at 10, Rich Eisen at 1, and Prater in the Ballgame at 3. 8 hours of the best sports talk on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Prater right now is on his computer, and he's scrolling down the list of the most famous people born in Idaho. Like I said, Dirk Cutter was number 29 on that list. Any other standouts there, Prater, that you're seeing?
Well, I'm a little disappointed you didn't bust out Coach Cutter's chops a little bit. He may be 29 in the state of Idaho.
Yeah.
He's not even number one in his own high school.
Who's that?
Coming in at number 6 on this list is proud Highland High School football player Taysom Hill. he kicked Cutter's ass by 23
Cutter's
spots.
Cutter's not even number one from his high school. That is awesome. All right, open phone Friday. Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, 208-424-9300. If you have something hilarious, bring it. We want to hear it. Jordan, what's up, dude? You're up first.
Hey, guys, I got three things really fast. The hotline's got to stay open, period. Number two, is it 9 p.m. yet? Boise State basketball. It's been so fun watching these guys grit it out.
Hell yeah.
For another victory tonight.
Nice.
Number three, main reason I'm calling, I'm standing outside of Tin Roof Tacos right now. Freezing my butt off because I want to be in there grabbing me some shrimp tacos.
Hell yeah.
But I'm here because I saw on social media today they signed an NIL agreement with Riley Smith, Boise State Bronco football player. And I just wanted to shout out to all of our local business local businesses that are hooking our student athletes up with this great support. So want everyone else listening to this, if you got a business, I'm ready to support it. Send some NIL money our student athletes way.
Hey, Jordan, stay on real quick. That's the epitome of what I want on Open Phone Friday right there. Something like that. Jordan calling in. Hey, thanks. That was a beautiful call. Well done.
Hey, you know, beautiful call for beautiful men. Thank you for all you do.
All right. Yeah, thank you, man. You just said that to 10,000 people listening out there. Well done, Jordan. I saw that. Riley Smith got an NIL deal with the Taco Shack or whatever it's called. So,
I love that.
I mean, if you're going to sign an NIL deal, signing with the Taco Shack, right?
If you're a college student, hell yeah.
Seriously, man? Yeah, what's better than a stinking taco if you're a college student? Actually, like 15 tacos, and I bet him and his teammates are going to put those suckers down. Let's go to Ty. Who's next up? Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Ty, welcome to Open Phone Friday. What do you have?
Hey, man. I just want to know what you guys think, or I want to know your answers to this question. What was the first tape, CD, or record, and this goes for all three of you, first tape, CD, or record you ever purchased with your own money? That's what I got.
Ooh, he threw in that thing at the end with my own money.
I remember mine.
With your own money?
Yes.
Okay, what was it?
Remember those, you probably don't because you're a little bit younger. JP will remember these. Those old yellow KTEL Greatest Hits records.
Mm-hmm.
It was a yellow record put out by KTEL that came out all the time. I remember buying, I don't remember what songs were on it, but I remember I can see the album in my face. I was probably 10 years old and allowance, and I went and bought myself a KTEL Greatest Hits record.
Wow.
Does Columbia House CD Club count where, like, you pay a penny for, sure, like, 12 CDs or something?
I think we all did those. I did those a little bit later in life.
Yeah. I'm going to go a little earlier, though. And, you know, I don't know how I got the money. I'm sure my mom or dad just bought it for me, okay? But the first cassette I remember buying on my own, like, it was my cassette, was the Beastie Boys, Licensed to Ill. You know, it's got the end of the airplane on the cover. It's got Fight for Your Right. It's got Girls. It's got Brass Monkey. I mean, for me, it's the still the number one Beastie Boys album of all time. But I remember when I had that cassette, I went to day camp at the YMCA. I was a latchkey kid, Prater. So my parents in the summer times had to send me to, like, these stupid-ass boring camps and stuff. And I remember a buddy of mine at the camp, this was the boombox era, was blasting Licensed to Ill. And I was like, who are these guys? He's like, oh, the Beastie Boys, you know? And I remember after that, like, asking my mom or whatever, next time we were at Tower Records or whatever, hey, can I get Beastie Boys? So, JP, what's yours?
Well, if you're looking for the first 45 I ever purchased.
What's a 45?
A 45 is a single. A single. It actually has two songs on it, one on one side, one on the other.
Okay, a record?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it was Bad Blood by Neil Sedaka.
I don't even know that song. Neil Sedaka? What?
I remember Neil Sedaka because he used to always play. He had a standing gig at Sun Valley.
Yeah. Can I get
he
you guys in Sun to Valley sing all that the time, song?
I can. I'll pull it out a little bit later.
Okay. Hey, it's.
Let's pay him some royalty.
I know
fees
that
today.
Elton John sang backup vocals on it.
Let's pay him some royalty fees today.
Yeah, Neil Sedaka was bad, but JP was young, so he didn't know.
That would have been.
Prater has to rip your suggestion.
If you're looking for the. Well, it's not a suggestion. It's an actual fact.
Yeah, he was 7 years old,
no,
too.
No, I was 11, I believe.
Okay.
But, the actual first album of sorts I bought was probably Kiss Alive 2, though. Kiss Alive 2 on 8-track.
It was a live album on 8-track.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you guys, were 8-tracks a big deal?
Yeah.
Yes. Are you kidding me?
You couldn't press rewind.
No.
We didn't have another choice, dude.
No. How did you guys...
Rewind? You had to listen through an entire track to get to the next song.
Yeah, but at least on a record, you can lift the needle up and you can pin it on the song you want on a cassette tape.
True.
It has rewind. Like, I don't know much about 8-track players. My dad had one. I would play him a little bit. Sometimes you'd find a weird used car that has an old 8-track player in it, you know, very rarely.
When I bought my first car, it's the first thing I did. I went and invested in an 8-track player.
You bought an 8-track player for your car.
And I was the greatest. It was the greatest thing in life.
You loved it. Yeah, okay. Full albums were on 8-tracks, huh? The whole album?
Well, yeah.
Okay. It was just like buying a CD. It was just the whole album was on there.
Or a cassette. You know, yeah. It was just that was the form of music back in the day.
Dude, you couldn't press rewind, though. I just didn't bug you.
It was a little weird. Well, I didn't know the difference then.
All right, let's hop on some soapboxes. Appreciate you guys on Open Phone Friday. He's Prater, I'm Johnny. But quick, this weekend you might be out and about. If you need to purchase dog food, the biggest and best selection of premium dog food, it's at Zamzo's. Toys and treats, too. Their newest line is called Zamzo's Fundamentals, okay? You're talking high-level dog food for low-level prices, guys. 13 Zamzo's in this valley. Nobody knows like Zamzo's. Vandal, soapbox. Yep, I'm going to talk about the Vandals on my box today, Prater. Vandal basketball in... crap. Well, we'll do that next.
You're listening to Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the Ballgame on Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket. If you've got 3 minutes, we've got some self-important things to say. It's the 90-Second Soapbox with Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio The Ticket.
All right, for as excited as I am about where my alma mater, my Idaho Vandal football program, the direction I feel, I believe that it's heading in, I'm as worried, as, I guess, disappointed with where men's basketball is headed. It should be, for me, should be easier to build a competitive Big Sky basketball, men's basketball program than a football program. It just should. You need less players. The Northwest has, go to Seattle, get a couple of kids from Rainier Beach every year. Build your damn team. Zach Claus and the Vandals lost last night. They thought they were feeling good about themselves. They had won a couple in a row, and they just get boat raced. Okay, they just got slapped around by the Grizz, and I'm just so sick of it. Like, Montana should not be leaps and bounds in basketball ahead of the Vandals, in my opinion. Zach Claus, after the end of the game, said, "We're a depleted team right now." Right now? No, this has been a depleted program for years. He went on to say, and I quote, "It wasn't our night." Can I ask when it's going to be our night? I mean, I'm a big fan over here. I want to support this team. But at some point, the Idaho men's basketball program has to give the fans a little something in return. Not getting your smoked by teams like Montana time and time again. Zach Claus is a good dude, and I was hoping he would turn it around this year. But, dude, that ain't gonna happen. And for the Vandals, look at the buzz that football's creating with this hire. Hey, basketball, yeah, take notice. Because right now, get off it!
In case you haven't heard, there's been breaking news out of the NFL in the last couple of hours. The New York Giants have hired Brian Daboll as their head football coach. And why do you care here in Boise, Idaho? Well, if you've been listening, you've understood. And if you haven't, here's the news. Kellen Moore is one step closer to being a head coach in the National Football League. The Miami Dolphins have reportedly set their sight on three finalists for this job and will do a second round of interviews next week. Daboll, you're gone. And don't forget, Daboll was Tua's offensive coordinator for 1 year at Alabama. There was a very strong connection there. He ain't in the situation anymore. The Miami Dolphins' job is down to two people, according to all reports, and nobody's disputing them. San Francisco's offensive coordinator, Mike McDaniel, and Kellen Moore, who has never been closer to realizing his dream than he is right now. This minute, this second, this hour, Kellen Moore is preparing himself and getting himself ready and working with his agent to meet with the Miami Dolphins again next week. And he's got a 50% chance. I have no idea how accurate these reports are. Like I said, they're all over the place and nobody's disputing them. And I have no idea if the Miami Dolphins are going to go after somebody else. But Kellen Moore, you've got yourself one hell of a shot. And Mike McDaniel, if you're a Shanahan guy and three out of the four teams left in the National Football League are Shanahan guys or there's an influence there, that might be the rage in the NFL. But Kellen Moore's got a pretty good rage too in terms of what he's done with the Dallas Cowboys. I'd still rather see Kellen Moore stay with the Dallas Cowboys and learn one more year as an offensive coordinator. But if the Miami Dolphins job opens up, as Johnny Ballgame and I have said all week long, a rich, historic franchise in the National Football League, and Kellen Moore, you would look good with a dolphin on the side of your head.
Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
Well, we've got a basketball game tonight down in Fresno. Boise State trying to run their win streak to 14 games tonight. That game, 670 KBOI, 9 o'clock tip-off with Bob Beeler and Abe Jackson on the call. Check that out. Also, the Idaho Steelheads are at home looking to build off their rout of the Kansas City Mavericks on Wednesday night, a 9-4 win there. Pink in the Rink jersey auction is this weekend. So go to the games, check out the jerseys you want, and put in a bid. You can basically take them right off the back of the Idaho Steelheads after tomorrow night's game. We have got those games at 7:10 tonight on 95.3 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. And Arizona State offensive coordinator Zach Hill has resigned amid alleged recruiting violations in the program. He was one of four assistants on Herm Edwards' staff there that are out, according to ESPN. It's all part of the NCAA's investigation that involved Arizona State hosting prospects during the dead recruiting period. And we bring this up because Hill was also the offensive coordinator here at Boise State 2016 to 2019.
Uh-oh.
Got a little ugly. Got a little ugly.
Typically, Prater, I don't believe in the rogue assistant. Like, for example, I remember when Tom Brady was going through Deflategate, right?
Yep.
I never believed, as the Patriots said, that there were rogue ball boys. That these ball boys, on their own, deflated Tom Brady's footballs. I would imagine you can get your hand cut off in the Patriots facilities if you get caught playing incorrectly with Tom Brady's balls, right? You cannot do that. So there's a code red. Somebody ordered somebody to do the dastardly deed, okay? That's just how I believe. Now, maybe Zach Hill did go rogue and he was breaking rules on him, on his own because he wanted to help the program that he was working for. But I think in most cases, man, subordinates, man, they're just subordinates, man. They take direction and they follow it. I don't know how guilty Zach Hill is on this sucker.
I don't feel the same way, ballgame. There are rogue assistants all over the place, and maybe they worked in concert. There's four of these guys that are gone right now. Somebody screwed up. Somebody usually tries to get an advantage. Somebody's always worried about their job. I see it differently.
I agree, because you can't. I mean, if Herm Edwards comes out of this and he's got no dirty hands on this, how can that be, Johnny? Somebody's going to talk.
Hill isn't throwing Herm under the bus, and Zach Hill gets to resign instead of being, you know, don't let the door hit you in the T-bone on the way out type of deal. I don't know. I don't think a lot of these guys go rogue. But hey, that's why I love sports talk radio. No one wants me and Prater to agree on everything. That'd suck. The show would be the worst.
That would suck.
So, yeah.
If I agreed with everything you said, that would suck.
Somebody issued the code red, Prater. Who ordered the code red? I want the truth. What would you say to that?
You can't handle the truth.
Thank you, JP. Hello.
Sorry, man.
Would you have said that?
I didn't know that direction you were going, but I do remember that line.
Jack Nicholson? Yeah.
No.
You ordered the code red. I want the truth. You can't handle.
You're doing a lot of screaming in the last 20 minutes.
Feedback finale next. Prater in the ballgame.
The good, the not so good. Long form, short form. Tell us who you are or be anonymous. We'll take it all. It's time for the feedback finale on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Well, if you missed any or all part of this show, make sure you go listen to it after Prater puts it up on our website, because at some point, Johnny Ballgame told Dirt Cutter he loved him.
That was the price of admission. That was awesome.
Let's go to the text line, Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Robert weighing in on yesterday's fantasy draft. He wanted to make sure he got his picks in. He says not taking Kelsey in a fantasy draft is crazy. He goes Burrows, Kelsey, Samuel, Mixon, Michelle, Niners D, McPherson.
Okay, bring
and he
it.
He said he loves the show on his drive home.
If we were selecting tight ends as part of our lineup as a specific position, yeah, he's the first tight end picked.
Well, you could still pick him as a wide receiver.
But why would you pick Kelsey over Jamar Chase or Cooper Kupp?
Or Deebo Samuel or Tyreek Hill? Like, there's really good receivers in these matchups, man. And, yeah, maybe Kelsey has the best game of all of them. That wouldn't surprise me, but you're picking your team, I'm picking mine. I mean, Prater, you have Cooper Kupp and Jamar Chase. You're not going to have Kelsey over one of those two guys.
No, thank you.
Mark in Boise, he says it's going to be Cincinnati, San Francisco in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
That's what JP wants. You know, yeah.
Actually, I would rather have Cincinnati Rams with the Bengals winning.
That's what I want,
if
too.
That's a possibility. Johnny, you asked, do people still go to the bank? And are there such things as bank tellers? Big Dave says, I still go into KeyBank and end up chatting with all the employees for at least 15 minutes.
Three words, Big Dave.
Progressive parents?
Get a life.
Yeah.
Get a life.
You think they flinch when he walks in?
Big Dave, they don't like the fact that you're there talking to them for 20 minutes, Big Dave. Get your banking done and make like a tree and get out of there. They don't want you around.
John in Boise says, I'm not sure about tellers in a bank, but I realize that I have an ink pen that has an eraser. It erases ink. When did this happen? And he sent us a picture of him writing KTIK sucks. But he was listening anyways. But he erased sucks, I believe. Robert in Meridian says he still writes a check to his evil homeowners association. If I pay online, they charge me an extra $18.
Yeah, those people are evil.
Prater, are you still feuding with your homeowners association?
I went 2 years without paying my fees, and they've never come after me. And I've paid.
Really?
I've paid at least the last year and maybe the year before that. But I was fighting with them. Told them I wouldn't send them a penny. 2 years, I didn't send them a penny. They never came after me.
I'm not looking forward to all that stuff.
I don't like those people.
Ooh, this is like your first time of having to write a check for dues, isn't it, Johnny?
Yeah. But I think I have a new plan.
You got a pool and all kinds
of stuff. But I think I've just been, I think a new idea has just spawned out of pure brilliance from Michael Forrest Prater.
Did I inspire you?
You just don't pay it and say, okay, I'll just be that neighbor.
I had a specific beef.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we were fighting over something.
It was a very public fight on this show, as a matter of fact.
Sorry, I missed it.
I can't remember what it was all about, but it was hilarious.
They were wrong. That's why they never came after me.
Okay, they knew it.
Yeah.
And if you ever go to a homeowners association meeting, you should live tweet it because it's great entertainment.
Ball game. Don't ever go to a homeowners association meeting. Just don't go there. Don't be like JP.
JP probably is the one who brings the coffee, you know, or he brings the, what do they call the creamer, you know, so you don't have the powder cream, JP. You bring like the, I don't know, the almond whatever flavor. No, Prater doesn't drink coffee, so he has no idea what I'm talking about. But anyway, move on.
Guillermo says, yes, Prater, I have bought a few KTEL albums.
Yeah,
at last we have something in common.
Anybody who was a boy growing up in the 70s, man, that was a big deal. You got a lot of music on those suckers.
KTEL
greatest hits. They were late night commercials. You bought them.
Compilation albums.
And they would show up. They were beautiful.
Just greatest hits out. KTEL, that was the company?
I think so.
Yes.
KTEL. You had some, JP?
I don't know if I bought the KTEL, but you couldn't go a night without seeing an advertisement for them on TV.
That's crazy that JP's saying that, too, because JP is one of, was it 13 or 14 children in that house?
Nine
whatevs. I'm surprised he ever even got to watch anything on TV. Like, JP didn't wear, like, underwear that had never been worn by somebody else in their life until he was a teenager. Think about that. Every pair of underwear he ever worn was passed down from his brothers. It had been washed, but still, like, you know, think about that. And socks for JP.
We did have a TV, and my dad chose what we watched on TV. So we watched some Starsky and Hutch, and we watched the $6 Million Man. It's like, go change the channel.
Nine kids. I can't stop laughing.
Oh, it was
laughing.
Something. It was something.
Nine kids. JP, I love you, man.
Spud Reb in Idaho in Twin Falls says his first album he bought with his own money, David Bowie's Space Oddity on a quadraphonic 8-track.
Quadraphonic, that's just four something. Like, it's what like the hell is like, quadraphonic?
It's like stereo times two. It's like the sound's going to be going through your
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Darren and Cuna says his first album was also an Alive 2 double album. He used his paper route money, and it was Ted Nugent's Scream Dreams.
Neither you guys ever have a paper route?
No. I helped my brother with one.
I had one for about 3 months once.
And what,
sucked.
You fell down and you...
No, I quit.
You faked injury so you could get out of it?
No, only cool thing was my dad would drive me on my route on the weekends, and he would take me to Winchell's Donut House afterwards. So I would get donuts after the paper route, come home, turn on Chris Berman, NFL countdown, and get ready for my football. That was when life was easy, Prater. Now my life's just filled with chaos. Ugh.
Robert and Meridian's warning you, Johnny, that they'll put a lien on your house if you don't pay your homeowners association dues.
They didn't do that with Forrest.
Yeah, I disagree. I got away with the plug-in.
So
50, you have the green light to make it happen, my friend.
I'll tell you something. It costs too much to get an attorney involved, so you can probably get away with this, Johnny.
Oh, God. Damn, we don't have a show tomorrow.
We got one Monday. A big one.
Anything?
What's going to happen with Boise State basketball tonight?
I think they win.
Who's in the Super Bowl on Monday?
Rams, Bengals.
Rams, Chiefs.
Okay. All right, till then, you guys. JP, Prater, and Johnny, thank you. Dirk Cutter, thank you. Jason Eck, thank you. BJ Range, Bob Beeler, love ya!
Sports Radio 95.3 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket.